Blog Talk Radio.
Out there, darlings. It is another glorious Wednesday, and you know what time it is, honey. So I want you to get all of your crumpets together, babies, because it's time to dish tea. And you're dishing tea, darlings, with Big Meech. Hey, babies, what's going on? I am just sitting up here. I'm bouncing, I'm bubbling, and carrying on in all of those shenanigans. I have to make the last of it. Y'all know I got a donut factory job, correct? Oh, my. We got a lot of listeners today. The phone lines are blowing up. Hello there to all of my new babies. Hey, children. I see everybody on here. I thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay? I'm like, wow, that just threw me for a second. But I was saying, you know I have a donut factory job, honey, where it's time to make the donuts. Oh, I already made the donuts. Well, I've been on vacation for the last couple of weeks, and I go back Friday. It's a bittersweet moment because, you know, Friday happened to be fucking payday. And, of course, everybody looking for their check, but I got to go back in this girl, honey, and I'm not necessarily ready per se, you know. But honey, the bills can't get paid if the job ain't laid, baby. So guess what? We got to knuckle up and go do this thing. But until then, I'm going to take these next few days, honey, and enjoy myself and get a couple of things going on, if you know what I mean. No, let me stop playing. But anywho, today is going to be a fun show. So if you're listening by computer and you wish to join in on the conversation, honey, I encourage you, please feel free to call in 347-205-9183. That's 347-205-9183. Press the number 1, and that lets me know you want to have something to say, okay? The tea room is open. For those of you who are on computer wish to go and chat over there, now, in order to chat, you must create a profile page with Blog Talk Radio. It's free of charge, of course. And then that way you can get in and interact and this, that, and the other with everybody else. Now, remember, honey, over there in the tea room, and I haven't said this in a while, but in the tea room, remember, children, that this is just the written word. And sometimes what happens when we read stuff, we end up interpreting it based upon our own experiences. So you think somebody may have said something one way, and they didn't, and they may have meant it for another. So just remember, honey, this is the written word. No need to go throwing your computers out the windows or slapping it or cussing at it and carrying on. Just remember, honey, it's okay to disagree. Just don't be disagreeable, because if I find that you are, honey, I will cut your ass from here to heaven. Here, ha, and we'll call it grace. Okay, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, show ideas, if you have any Dear Big Meech letters that you wish to have my advice on a few things, please feel free to email me at bigmeech@dishingtea.com, or go to dishingteawithbigmeech@gmail.com. How about that one? I'll clean that up. bigmeech@dishingtea.com, or you can just go to the website www.dishingtea.com for more information on what we have here, a link to our sponsors. You can find out more about me, a link to all the Facebook pages that are available. And you can also order your copy of my book, Awakenings, Epiphanies Along a Spiritual Journey, a collection of blogs and spiritual revelations that were given to me during my private time that I wish to share with everyone for personal growth and spiritual development, okay? So, having said that little plug there, I want to get things started right away, because I know some of my guests are pressed for time, and we want to get things moving right along, okay? Now, let me say this. I have to put my disclaimer here. For those of you who are listening, Dishing Tea with Big Meech is for mature audiences, and the language and or subject matters are not suitable for children or anyone who is not responsible or mature enough to handle the subject matters. So your listening discretion is advised. I shall repeat. Dishing Tea with Big Meech is for mature audiences, and the language and or subject matters that we present are not suitable for children or anyone who is not mature to handle the situation. So your listening discretion is advised. For those of you who know me, or those of you who are about to learn me, I make no excuses for having a potty mouth. I've earned it. At 42 years old, I've earned every four-letter word that fling up out my mouth. So if you're at work and you need to govern yourself accordingly by turning your volumes down, put your headphones on. If you have children around, honey, put them in there. Time to watch Barney or Dora or SpongeBob or something, because this is an adult show. Because none of you bitches are going to be calling me, contacting me, emailing me or anything saying that you got demerits on your job or whatever the case may be because you didn't govern yourself accordingly. So consider yourselves warned. Now, having said all that, let me wet my palate. I'm going to take a little minute. Let me pay a bill or two. And when we come back, we are going to be talking with the cast, the producer, director, writer, and creator of a wonderful, 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 innovative, thought-provoking, honest, and what I feel to be a well-written script of a web series that is on YouTube now called Between Women. Yes, honey, this is an African-American centered show dealing with African-American lesbians and the lesbian culture, which is educating me, and we'll get into that in a minute, but it is terrific, and I'm going to encourage everyone to make sure that when this is all said and done, the first 10 episodes are up. They're going to take a season break and then come back on the second season, so we're going to get into all of that. So before I introduce everyone that's here, let me say hello and pay a couple of bills. And what Chuck Willoughby used to say, I'll see you in 2 and 2. So yeah, give me a couple of seconds, honey. I got to wet my palate, and then we'll be right back after this. Okay, so I'll see you on the flip side of the break. Pharaoh's Treasure Box. Fine art, unique jewelry, and sensational 3D silk floral arrangements. Creations by Taps. For all of your decorative needs, contact Pharaoh's Treasure Box at 248-688-5178 or 5179. Again, that's 248-688-5178 or 5179. Or you can email at Pharaoh's Treasure Box at yahoo.com. That's Pharaoh's Treasure Box, Pharoahs, Treasure Box, at yahoo.com. To see the collection or to purchase, go to www.buysellcommunity.com/store/Pharaoh's Box. Again, that's www.buysellcommunity.com/store/Pharaoh's Box, and that's Pharaohz Box. Pharaoh's Treasure Box of Detroit, Michigan. Fine art, unique jewelry, and sensational 3D silk floral arrangements. The Big Brothers Network. Yeah, men of color, men of size. The Big Brothers Network was created to celebrate the larger man of color and those who admire him. We intend to promote a positive self-image within our community and the mainstream population. Our goal is to embrace our differences, to inspire self-love, and increase camaraderie through positive brotherly interactions. We intend to accomplish these goals through the BBN magazine, local and national events, and networking forums. For more information or to catch the latest copy of the BBN magazine, please go to www.bigbrothersnetwork.com. That's www.bigbrothersnetwork.com. The Big Brothers Network, men of color, men of size. Ladies and gentlemen, and to all those who are listening, honey, without any further ado, well, hello there, Tea Room, all of my guests. Tajir, I see you're there, truly satisfied. I see you. Let's see, all of my guests, y'all got all these numbers, honey, 20 O's, yeah, all the numbers, child. Hello to all of you. I see you, babies. Thank you for your time and your love and your support. But we're going to get right into this because I want to make sure, honey, that everybody get their time in. Without any further ado, let me get to you who are available to speak with us, starting with the creator, the writer, and producer of Between Women, we have Miss Michelle Daniels. The director of Between Women, we have Miss Christina Brown. Also playing the role of my baby, honey, Mecca. Okay, this is Tajir coming on in. And the sweetheart of the group, honey, playing the role of Miss Winnie Pooh, honey, this is Miss Toya. Hello there, people. How are you?
We're
hello,
good.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Hi.
Hey. Okay, I love it. 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 Listen, babies, first off, let me start here and say I quickly became a fan of the show immediately after watching the first episode, okay? Immediately, for two reasons. Number one, the obvious reason, okay, we have something that's black and gay that's on and is a quality product. Let me stress that. Is a quality product, okay? Because we have a number of people who are amongst the internet cyber world or whatever that's doing shit and may not have be a quality product or whatever. So I thank you for that. And then the second reason why I'm in love with it is because the writing is real. The situations are real. I was able to see folks in that have crossed my path in some of those same situations, working at several bars or whatever in gay clubs. I'm from Detroit, so working in several bars there, and then working at a gay resort in Michigan called the Douglas Dunes, and watching the lesbian culture interact with one another. I've seen these same situations, and It is very eye-opening for me. Plus, it's given me an education into lesbian culture, because as a gay man, as you guys know, the lesbian culture and the gay culture, honey, we don't like to sit down and hang with one another. So it's given me an eye-opening view into the culture itself. So I'm going to start with you, Michelle, and ask you, give us the reasoning for you creating and developing such a wonderful project.
Hey, everybody. You know, everybody always asks me this question, and I kind of remember, but I don't. Christina Brown, which is my director of Between Women, she's my best friend. We've been friends for years. And I remember coming to her and was like, I wrote something. And she was like, okay. And you have to understand that she has graduated from Georgia State in film, and she went to NYSA in film. And I really didn't know that much about film. I didn't know mm-hmm. anything about film. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I wrote something, and she's like, okay, let me see it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to let you see it. And I think for me, it was going through a breakup, and I just needed something to write about. I needed to release energy. And at that time, the two cast members that are on the call with us, they are not the original cast members of Between Women. We casted for this project about 2 years ago, and we had a different script. And if you ever was to see that script, you could probably tell that a lot of it came from my relationship, dealing with a lot of emotions and releasing things. And I just really didn't feel like putting that energy out there, so I rewrote Between Women and casted for a new team. And I really wanted to give our audience something that they can gravitate to, something that they can relate to. And I also wanted to educate people on a lot of important issues that we talk about. And my main one for me is domestic violence and also promoting STD, knowing your status. Those are the two major things to me that I feel was very important, because both of them hit home. I was in a domestic violence relationship, and I have family members that are HIV positive. And just wanting to spread the word so that everybody can know something. And also giving people a good show, a feel-good show, something that they can watch and be able to relate to in our community.
Dig that, dig that. Okay, Christina, let me go to you as the director of the piece. Okay, when the piece came to you and you were able and you guys green-lighted and said, okay, let's do this, what has been your creative vision for the show? Because I'm seeing a lot of changes over the episodes. I'm seeing new dimensions. I've seen that you guys went from it being a 15-minute set to now you're able to expand it to 45 minutes and close to an hour. So what has been a lot of your creative vision for the show?
Well, hello, everybody. It working on Between Women has definitely been a growing process. We started out wanting to offer people a quality product that could showcase the LGBT community, not only of Atlanta, but to show the different issues that people go through. And once we saw that we had the support of the community behind us, it definitely gave us more energy to push forward and really try to make these characters that everyone has fallen in love with come to life. And we just want everybody to not only be entertained, but also learn from Between Women, talk about it as a conversation topic with your friends, and hopefully educate people on not only lesbian life, but just life in general.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
mm-hmm.
the appeal for our show is the fact that we just want to showcase that we are people just like everybody else. We go through the same issues and relationships and family that everybody else does.
Exactly, which is what we've been saying for years. But, you know, we actually have something that's tangible for folks to understand. Now, let me go here, because, like I said, this show is also educating me as a gay man. And I tend to be a little bit more liberal in this particular area, because as a trans activist, and also I was once involved with the LGBT-affirming church, Unity Fellowship Church movement. I've been around and I've been exposed to lesbian culture and the differences between studs and femmes and trans and this, that, and the other. I love the fact with the show that there are multiple levels of lesbian existence. You know, we go with Mecca, who is, you know, contemplating or borderline trans or is trans and dealing with that particular issue of being a stud, which is somewhat separate at the same time. We have Miller, who is, you know, the player stud, yet still holding on to her femininity. You got Ray, who is just downright thug, you know, and then you got Brooke, you know, the heavy one, you know, the one that's the emotionally challenged or dealing with all of that and you know, dealing with self-esteem issues and this, that, and the other. And in that, how was it, and this is to both of you Michelle and Christina, how was it when creating these characters that you said, okay, let's make sure that we have a broader spectrum who we are versus just what has been stereotypical and traditionally shown on television.
Go ahead, Christina.
The characters, man, they are characters that you love, characters that you hate. We definitely didn't expect the fan response that we got from a lot of the characters. And the script has taken so many twists and turns with the way that the characters react and develop and interact with one another. We mostly just strive to show real life, even with Brooke's character. People think that type of person doesn't exist, and she does. And when we get letters from the fans and emails and Facebook messages about, you know, how much watching Between Women has helped them heal from their own situation, that makes it all the worthwhile to put it out there.
Exactly. All right, let me bring in Tajir and Toya. Now, Tajir, I want to come to you first because your character, Mecca, okay, is one of these characters. Mecca is one who I love Mecca, but then you see the player in Mecca, and it's like, okay, you know what, Doug? Damn. Okay. And you know, your Mecca's game is becoming so fucking transparent. It's like, okay, damn. You and you think you believe this. So how is it for you to develop and evolve this character from the first episode to now?
Hard, because Mecca is like the complete. First of all, let me say thank you for having us on the show. Appreciate you so much. Hey, Christina, Michelle, Toya. Well, like I said, Mecca is a challenge for me, but I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Out seen in a different state, of course, and to actually survive, and who are trans.
Okay, wait a minute. You're starting to break up.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's where I'm at in this building.
Yeah, it's probably the reception. Try that again.
I said I've talked to other trans men and trans women and try to relate to what they're going through. So I'm, like, really looking forward to bringing Mecca as a trans man onto the scene.
Interesting. Now, what is – give us the difference between Tajir and Mecca. What are your differences that you find to be the challenge of creating the character?
Tajir is not a player. Strictly for one woman and one woman only. So definitely not that. I believe in respecting women. Mm-hmm. And treating them the way I want to be treated. So Mecca, on the other hand, I feel is a lost soul, because she don't know who she is inside. She don't know who she really wants to be. You know, she don't know who she want to be with, so she bounces around with different people and thinking that's how she's going to find herself. So,
okay.
Yes.
And this is Michelle. Let me say this. When we first casted Tajir for this role and she found out that she was going to be a player, she was like, man, this is not my thing. So we gave her script, and she came back to Christina and I, and she said, you know what? I'm going to be a player. She said, I'm going to go up and ask girls for their numbers, and I'm going to see how I can do this. And I was like, Tajir, she was like, this is not me. And she was, like, so sincere about it. And it started coming out, and she was like, you know, I'm really kind of shy. I'm not Mecca. And she was out just on a regular day, going out approaching girls, really trying to dig into her character and really bring Mecca to life. And
wow.
If you meet Tajir in person and Mecca, you will understand that they are two completely different people. So I definitely commend Tajir for really taking on her role and bringing Mecca to life, because that is not who she is.
Well, you know, let me say this, because I have met Tajir. Tajir and I worked on a piece together called When Love Was Simple, and we met on that particular set on my shoot day. How about it? And so with meeting Tajir, I was like, oh, I didn't know how to approach him, because I was like, okay, if I say something to him, I don't want him to run away. I don't want him to run away from me, because I was like, oh, honey. And then I'm like, oh, she's so fragile. Okay, and see, I'm 6'4", 400 pounds, honey. So, you know, I'm coming up in there like the shadow. You know. So I was like, wow. And then, you know, as the shoot went on or whatever, and Tajir loosened up, you know, we were able to be a little bit more friendly and carrying on and to converse. So, yes, because what I see here, and then when I see Mecca, honey, I'm like, ooh, baby, okay. I didn't know you had it in you, okay? Now, let me ask you this, because, you know, there's a little bit of nudity on your part, Tajir, getting into the shower and carrying on. Were you comfortable with that?
That was supposed to be cut, the whole titty shot. Thank you, Christina.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry, Tajir, because when we shot that scene, you know, the way the script was written, that little bathroom dance wasn't really in the script, but Tanya was like, yeah, I just want to, you know, do this fun little dance, woo, woo, woo. And then when she did it, I was like, oh, did you mean to do all of that? She was like, no. But, you know, during the editing process, there's not a lot of sleep that happens during the editing process.
No sleep.
So, you know, there's supposed to be people who are always watching after I edit to make sure that I didn't miss anything, because I'm normally working off of no sleep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That one kind of slipped past me. And every time she mentions it, I have to say sorry.
Well, I met up with Tajir and she was like, hey, did you see the scene? I said, yeah, your ass is out. She was like, I was like, do you want us to show your ass on the YouTube in front of everybody? She was like, okay, I'm cool with that. So I called back. I'm like, Christina, Tajir approved her ass. Let's do it. Then I started, we started seeing messages. Was like, is that Tajir's titty? Is that Tajir's titty? And I was like, oh, shit. So we log on to YouTube real quick, and, like, we're like, taking it frame by frame. And we're like, oh, shit, that's her titty.
Okay, right, right.
Yeah,
I am loving this. Now, let me go here. Toya, come on up in here, Miss Winnie Pooh. Okay. Miss Winnie Pooh, the love, the so-called love of Mecca's life, and et cetera, et cetera. Honey, what is this, and how is the emotional roller coaster for you? Because you are embodying the character that a lot of folks seem to find confusing with lesbian women. The fact that you found yourself and got yourself pregnant, and yet you're still in your lesbian relationship. What was that like for you when that came up, and how are you addressing the fans when they come up to you?
I can relate in a sense where the emotional roller coaster comes into play because, of course, being in relationships and life, you know, you learn a lot, you go through heartbreak or whatnot. So it's funny because me and Tajir have developed a chemistry between our characters. So when we have arguments, I find myself really getting upset and, like, getting, like, about to start crying, like she really just hurt me. So it's really easy in that sense. It might be just because I'm sensitive in real life. So, so yeah, it's pretty easy for me to embody that part. As far as, you know, being that confusing character, I love it because I like to see people's reactions. A lot of people get really upset with me because they're like, ugh, she don't know what she wants, blah, blah, blah. And I want to just set the record straight. Winnie is bisexual, but she prefers a woman.
She uses men,
and that's the difference. And I don't know if, you know, everybody was able to pick up on that, but that's what it is when it comes to Winnie.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you how it read to me. And that was Winnie got hurt. And Winnie was like, you know what, fuck this. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go do this because I'm sick of this shit, you know? And it's kind of like, you know, how gay men, we say it, I don't know many who've done it yet, but we say we tired of men, and so fuck it, I'll go get me a bitch, and then, you know, I just fuck a woman and be done with it, because I'm sick of men right now. And so to see that, that was the same attitude that I had when she said, okay, let me take this on, and it's going to be what it is, because, you know, fuck this shit, you know? And I was like, wow, you know, that was kind of tripping me out. And so now the whole abortion issue is up, you know, whether you're going to keep the baby, abort the baby, this the baby, that the baby. And the whole twist, if y'all haven't seen episode 10, too bad, because I'm going to talk about it. The whole twist in well, this is actually in episode 9, when you found out that Natalie and you share the same man.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a lot.
In this, now here is where it gets really that way, because I can understand it, but if we're talking to a straight audience or our heterosexual counterparts, explain it from the character's perspective. Give me Winnie's perspective of how she would deal with this to say, okay, yes, I am bi or I am lesbian, and I just happen to be in this particular situation. Because a lot of our heterosexual counterparts love to think that, oh, all you need is just a good piece of dick and you'll be fine. Oh, this is just a phase you're going through, or this, that, another. Explain it from Winnie's perspective, what this is for her.
Okay, well, see, what it is like I said before, Winnie loves women. She has a thing for men when it comes to using men because she knows how to use her sex appeal. And she's, you know, most people consider her a gold digger. I would like to consider her more of a go-getter. And, you know, in that sense, she's willing to go after what she wants, and she usually is successful with what she wants. You know, she got her free gas.
Okay.
She got her girl. She got Gabby. You know, and she knew that she could get more out of Jason, so she entertained him. But in the midst of it all, she did get caught up because at the end of the day, when you're going through emotions and someone's there around you when you're going through that, you might find some type of feeling with that person. And that's what happened when it came to Winnie and Jason.
Okay, dig that. Okay, Michelle, let me go here with you.
Okay.
Because with you being the new to the film and understanding this particular genre, what was it attracting you to go on YouTube versus taking the script and turning this into a short film to put it into the film festivals and everything else like we see so many other of our LGBT filmmakers do?
Okay, well, we actually had a short film that we released. It was called Broken Silence. It's on the YouTube channel.
Yes, I love that.
Right, so that was one of the first films that I was able to write. When we decided to do Between Women, and I tell people this all the time, and they never believe me, I never would have thought in a million years that Between Women would get to the point where it's at now. I remember sitting down with my cast when we had our production meetings and with Christina, and I told them, I said, you guys are going to be big. Just watch. Now, when I said that, you know, I didn't know it would be 100,000 hits in 1 week big. So the point of shopping it around first versus YouTube, it was like, okay, let's just do trial and error. Let's see if, you know, someone out there likes us, likes who we are. And, you know, now we're shopping around and going different places for our TV show. But I just didn't think that the fans would just gravitate to us the way that they did. So it's like we have taken over, like, YouTube in a sense, especially in the LGBT community. So I think it was just with us not knowing how big we were and not really understanding that it was our time.
Dig that. Okay, let me go here because the tea room is blowing up, and I got to read some of these little comments. Ace Fitz in the tea room says, Winnie Pooh, I love you. We can raise that child together, boo. You're so sexy.
Thank you.
I love it. Truly Satisfied says, Brooke is a work in progress, and I have ran across a lot of lesbians like her. Angela Talley, I'm excited about the new episode. However, there's a lot of speculations about the graveyard scene. Okay. I haven't got to that part yet.
Have you saw the teaser for the episode 11 finale?
No, because I'm sitting up there waiting on 11. I got through everything, but I'm looking for the season finale.
The teaser for episode 11 is up.
Okay.
And I posted it yesterday. Christina Brown, which is out of town, left me to edit the teaser. So here I go. So it's my time to edit, right?
Okay.
So it's so weird because her and I have two different edit processes. Usually I don't like her process. She don't like the way I edit. I don't like the way she edit. It is just what it is. So I'm trying to pick out nice scenes for the teaser and trying to see, okay, what would make the fans just, like, go crazy? And put out, we get an episode 11 teaser. And everybody in the world, like, even on our Between Women groups, on the page, everybody is just, like, distraught because they're like, somebody is dead. Who is dead? We want to know. It's, like, the craziest thing, and we read all our fans' comments. So
okay.
We can't give anything away.
I was just going to say that because somebody was just asking that. I know you can't tell us what happened, but could you give us a hint? That's Angela Talley.
We go to a graveyard. That's the hint.
Okay, is that it? I love it. I love it. Oh, give me a
our
shout out. Ha ha. Okay, that's
active,
your shout out, Nicole Martin. Hi, shout out to Nicole Martin. Over here in the tea room. All the frenzy in that teaser, says Angela Talley. Yeah, the fans, honey, are just loving the show, and they are just sitting up here going through all of the changes. Now here we go. Let me go here because I'm understanding that Brooke and Allison, and forgive me for not having their real names, are lovers in real life. They're partners.
Yes, they are. Allison's name is Onyx, and Brooke is Noble Jules. And they are in a relationship in real life. They have been in a relationship for a couple of years, and they actually are engaged in the process of getting married.
Oh, well, dig that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, lovely.
And let me just clear the record on behalf of them. Brooke is not abusive. Like, it is. And I attend school with Brooke and Onyx, and a lot of people approach them and say, hey, you know, they think that her girlfriend is really beating on her in real life. And I'm like, hell no, she's not. But a lot of people think that that is the case with Brooke, and she is a humble person. My whole cast is very humble, and they are very down to earth. And, you know, we don't do the drama. We all love each other. So for the record, Brooke and Allison in real life are in a relationship, but it's not a domestic abuse, any type of relationship at all.
Then that means that she's doing her job as an actor.
Correct.
Ooh. Okay. As an actor myself, see, and then too, I'm also a director, so when I look at stuff, I look at it from two different eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the character of Brooke, number one, because of Brooke's size, see, she's a big woman, and I'm being a big person myself. The big community here in LGBT living, you know, we tend to be the ones who get ostracized the most. And I look at Brooke and I see so many people who deal with a lot of self-esteem issues. Because one of the things about the big culture, and I'd say the big boy culture, but just the big person culture in LGBT living, is that once we become attached or find someone who gives us attention, It then becomes one of those kinds of things to where, okay, I got it, and I want to hoard it. I don't want it to get away from me. And it's kind of like the Elmira syndrome, if y'all remember Elmira from the cartoon, the Bugs Bunny kids, the Bugs Bunny babies. Which, you know, I want to love you and hug you and squeeze you and touch you. And it tends to have that kind of effect. And so any time that Brooke feels as though her relationship is challenged, or, you know, is insecure with the fact that Allison is a beautiful woman, you know, and don't want her to, you know, she feels as though someone could come in and just take her away or this, that, and the other. I think that's what their triggers. Tiny Toons, thank you, baby. That's Melissa Jennings. You know, that whole idea of, okay, what is going to happen? Because if this person leaves me, what am I going to do? And then it becomes their whole big old to-do. I have not seen this child go through an eating spell or whatever. I don't know if that's going to be one of her issues as well. But I kind of see that coming outside of the anger management with Brooke. When you were developing that character, Michelle, who was the influence behind that? Because that person is too real, and you know somebody. You know that person.
I speak about it now very openly. 2.5 years ago, I didn't. I was in a domestic violent relationship, and Brooke is not to that extent who I was with. I never had to physically to the point where I was almost at death or whatever. But I grew up also in a domestic violent relationship where my dad beat my mom every day.
Wow.
So it becomes a situation where you kind of, get used to the abnormal things of life. You know, we fist fought last night. This morning we get up and we're making breakfast. And you have to have a self-talk with self. You have to have that talk with self to say, okay, this is not normal. And I think with Brooke's situation, it kind of hits home for a few different people. Because we, when we're in relationships, a lot of us have fear of losing who we are with. But it all comes back to being comfortable with self. So when you actually have that time with self and you're comfortable with who you are, you know what you can bring to the table,
mm-hmm.
you know your worth as a person, when the other person doesn't accept that or value what you're bringing, then that person is not for you. So I think with Brooke's situation, she doesn't value herself as a person, or she doesn't even know exactly what she can bring to the table or what she can offer. And I think that has happened to a lot of us, and we know a lot of those Brooks. And, you know, domestic violence is not just a push, a hit. It can be anything. It can be it could be physical. It could be verbal. It could be mental. So it doesn't have to just be, okay, I beat you last night. It can be a demanding tone.
Yeah.
So we really have to be careful on the borderlines where we respect who our partner is. So with that being said, I'm not in a domestic violence relationship. I was able to get out of that, and I was able to spend 2.5 years to self to really learn who I was as a person. Now, if someone was to come and hit me today, okay, it's going to be an entirely different outcome versus the shit that went down 4 or 5 years ago.
Wait a minute. Let me say that one more time. Okay, bitch, really? Okay.
So I really believe in respect, you know, respecting who you are with, and that's what it comes down to.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, let me do this. I see, Noble baby, I see that you over here in the tea room, sugar. Now, if you want to come on in on this conversation, baby, type in here, give me your area code and the first 3 numbers of your phone number so I know that you over here in the tea room. I got so many hands up, I don't know whose number is whose. So give me that. While you're doing that, honey, let me take a commercial break and refresh myself, honey, because I'm coming back on the flip side of this thing, honey, with a couple more questions. So with that, I will be right back.
Trey Day Management and Publicity Firm, an Atlanta-based PR production and management consultancy firm specializing in aggressive publicity and exposure campaigns, artist development, leveraging mutually beneficial relationships, and brokering deal with integrity. At Trey Day Management, enjoy a touch of Southern hospitality with a universal appeal. For all of your public relations and entertainment management needs, contact Travion Davenport at 678-523-3088. That's 678-523-3088. Or email at tradaypr@gmail.com. That's Trayday, TREADAYPR @gmail.com. Trayday Management and Publicity Firm. Icha Vidal Couture. Icha Vidal Couture. Enjoy high fashion with luxurious twist. Step into the future with fresh, innovative couture. Designed by Miss Michi DeVale. Michi DeVale. For more information, contact Michi at 313-996-9807. 313-996-9807. Or go to Facebook and go to facebook.com/ Michi, DeVale. That's MICHIEDEVALE. Michi DeVale. Eachum. Vidal. Couture.
Your girl Cherie, and in my hands I have the infamous black book of Mecca Lorsa.
Oh, damn, left it at the coffee shop.
If you in there.
Okay, so Sonny, I've got a little information about you here, but why don't you tell me about your day today?
It's crappy. I'm here. Mom drove me to the house and brought me here trying to fix me.
That's right. And I will.
No, I don't think me and Mecca are gonna make it.
Are you sorry?
No, man. I don't know why you're tripping. I mean, if it was working on us, I knew she was talking to other people. She knew I was talking to other people, but I just can't take it anymore.
Well, Mecca's not talking to other men.
But I'm not sleeping with him.
You haven't slept with Jason.
There we go. Can you stand it? All right, I love that. Was kind of cute. Wait a minute. All right, we are back. If you're just tuning in with me right now, honey, you are dishing tea, darlings, honey, with Big Meech and the cast. Some of the cast, the creator, writer, producer, and the director of the wonderful, wonderful new web series on YouTube entitled Between Women. And right now, honey, we are getting into some of the character analysis and carrying on. And then we're going to break this down a little bit further. Now, let's go here, children, because here is... let me see where everybody is, and everybody chime in on this. As I keep saying, the disconnect between the lesbian community and the gay community seems to be unwavering. You know, for whatever reasons, the children don't want to do this or don't want to do that, and then we have this divide there. What is Little Miss Thing's name, honey, that came over to help the Walmart thing? Honey, let's go to Walmart. Winnie, that's your Judy girl, honey. Okay, let's go to Walmart. Little Miss Thing, I can't think of her name right now. What do you think that Between Women would be able to do to help bridge that gap? Because as you see, everybody's loving the show, but what is it that we can do to help bridge that gap?
Nobody has an answer.
Okay.
Thinking.
Crickets. Okay.
This is the reason why the gap probably does exist. This is probably the reason right here.
Dig it.
I like that one.
Do you know, I like that too, because for so long... You know, there has always been this separatism and things of that nature between us. And I really don't like it, you know, because now I was told this once before, that a lot of studs gravitate to trans women because trans women represent what they like. They like femininity. You know, they like breasts. They like the makeup and this, that, and the other because they are actual women. Versus one of these little queenie little sissy boys who always throw up in their face how much of a man they're not and become disrespectful and this, that, and the other. Tasia, let me throw that to you. Because in your study of trans men and in dealing with the LGBT culture, particularly those of us of color, what are you learning as a trans, and you know, as developing this character about the disparages between the culture?
Well, honestly, what I have to say about that is you can't help who you love. who you're attracted to. You know, if it's male, woman, trans, whatever. Whoever you, who you love is who you love because it comes from inside. Now, I learned that on myself, and also being in the trans community, I'm so understanding that it's important to be happy with yourself. You know, and if loving a bio man or a trans man and you're a male yourself is your thing, then by all means, go for it. You know, society, people are going to talk about you regardless. Regardless of what you do out there, folks are going to talk about you, and you can't let that get you down. Just go for it, you know. I mean, if I'm attracted to a man like I was years ago, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm attracted to a man. If I'm attracted to a woman now, I'm attracted to a woman. Who to say won't be attracted to somewhere down the line, you know? So I just say live life for yourself, enjoy it. Whoever you love, love that person unconditionally, and don't worry about anything else.
Okay, well, dig that. Okay, dig that. Dig that. All right. Now, Winnie, Toya, here's the thing for you, because the character of Winnie was in and is in love with the trans man. So what is that dynamic for you? And how was that for you personally? You know, was that a problem with you, or did, was that something you discovered about yourself? Was that a soul-searching thing? What was that whole dynamic for you?
Well, Winnie doesn't necessarily know that she's considering, you know, the surgery, so she's kind of in the dark, just like Mecca doesn't know that Winnie is bisexual.
Uh-huh.
So we both have secrets going on.
Okay, relationship built on lies and secrets and things. Have mercy, Joy. Have mercy. Okay. Now. Oh, yeah, they have no choice, honey. They have no choice. Now, here is, let's go here. Because the one character I haven't talked about yet, and that there is the character of Sunny.
Oh, oh God. That's
awesome. Okay.
I love her.
Sunny, being, you know, and I know several lesbians of Sunny's caliber, you know, want to attach himself on to being, you know, down and being a stud, yet has been toying with the idea of wanting to exercise his her femininity, and yet dealing with the whole idea, okay, my mama say I'm a burn in hell, she done bought in this damn witch doctor that's gonna pray the gay away and get a job. When y'all, that scene there had me cackling. When she said, yeah, and gonna bless the house and all and leave demon and this and child. Okay, I had flashbacks. But in directing that, Christina, what was that element for you, and where did that take you as they were developing that in front of the camera?
Man, that scene right there. LaDonna, the lady who played the actress who played our, I guess you would call her a therapist or a, I don't even know what to call her, the eccentric lady, I think it's what she called her at the trip. LaDonna is definitely a character in real life as well. At the casting call, when we met her, LaDonna said, you know, if you want me to get naked and have sex with somebody, I will. Just whatever you want me to do, just tell me and I will do it. So she was definitely open to playing such an eccentric role, and she took it far beyond my expectations. She came in with her own ideas. She was like, I think maybe I should just kiss Sunny, and then we turn each other out. And she came in with her own ideas and really took the scene to a whole new level. But I think the main part of it was to kind of show the extremes that people go to, you know, cast the gay out or, you know, pray
right.
the gay away. And it's not something that, you know, you can pray away or cast out of someone. And Sunny, if you ever get the chance to meet Amber in real life, she is Sunny. Like, she doesn't even have to try very hard to be Sunny, because that's just who she is naturally, a funny, happy, inquisitive person that will always keep you laughing. And I definitely think the authenticity that she brings to the cast and to the different characters We've all experienced first times coming out and dealing with our parents and, you know, trying to figure out where we fit into the gay community. And I think Sunny's character embodies that so well, and that's why a lot of people are attracted to her character.
All righty then. Well, hold on, because I'm going to get ready to bring in Noble. Noble, darling, Brooke, I need you in this conversation, baby.
I like this.
Yes, hello.
Hey, baby. How are you, precious pumpkin?
I'm fine, yourself.
I am everything, and everything is me. Now, I'm glad that you came on in, because I have to hear from you specifically. Okay, dealing with the character of Brooke, okay, and all of the emotional roller coaster that Brooke is on, goes through, and that whole fit. What is that for you, number one, as the character? And then number two, knowing that you're acting up against your real life partner, how is that, what is that dynamic for you?
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, that's good question. First, hi crew, hi Michelle, hi Chris, hi everybody. When we did the first episode, after we shot the scene and, you know, to rap and everybody went home, I was still Brooke.
Wow.
And Onyx had to talk me out of it, because to connect to, I'm not that person at all.
Exactly.
However, to connect to that person, like my mom and my sister were in abusive relationships, so I've seen and been around abusive people. I have never been abusive nor been in a relationship that was abusive. But and my biological dad was Brooke to extreme. Like,
wow.
Like, hung my mother over a bridge. Like,
Jesus.
So growing up, my mother told me so many different stories. And then I had some friends that were in, actually had a friend who was very abusive that I told her she was so abusive that I couldn't talk to her anymore. And that she needed, you know, she needed help, and unless she got help, we couldn't be friends. And so to go into Brooke, I identified with them, and by talking to them, just to understand their insecurities and the way they think, it attached me to, you know, past histories of just growing pains and things like that. So a couple of things. After shooting that, I was actually going in and out. Nobody could see, but I was going in and out of reality, because I'm looking at Allison, a.k.a. Onyx, just lying there. And, you know, I couldn't see her in the bathroom scene. I didn't look at that at all. But the scene where Brooke hits Allison and with the pipe. That one, I can't even watch that episode. Because me, myself, you know, Onyx is excellent at what she does too. And her looking at it, that's my wife. And I want to fight Brooke, like, every day.
So
I have conflicting issues. However, because, like I said, we left the scene, I was still Brooke. What we did was we talked about it. We talked about it to the point where some of the little issues in our relationship don't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what we realize is Brooke is not made overnight. Brooke is that female that is told from the first girl that she likes that you're not aggressive enough. And she doesn't hit the first time. She just takes it and she swallows it. And she said, okay. But then somebody else tell her something she doesn't like. And she says, okay. And she holds it in, so it's buried so deep and so much, and then it's let out. And what I realized from this, like, I had to call my friend. And I had to call and tell her that I love her, because our families are still connected. And I called and told her I love her, and I'm sorry for leaving her after playing Brooke. Because it just made me realize that those who abuse people are very damaged and hurt. And when I was stuck in Brooke, in my real life, it wasn't the anger. It was just the pain, the rejection, the guilt. It was all those things that was making me so angry. So it made me start looking at people who are abusers differently. Like, you really need a hug. No, all jokes aside, really need just a hug, just the feeling of companionship that they are understood. And in our relationship, what we did, we realized that it's little things that can lead a relationship down that angle. Every day we got a choice. We half Brooke, half Mecca, half Millers, half Sunnies. We are all these characters, and we are a thin line between them.
Exactly. You know, let me ask this. I'm going to ask this question, and then after I ask this, and I'm going to go to the audience because I got a lot of fans that's chiming in that want to ask questions. And before I ask my question, let me give a shout-out to Teandra Frazier over here in the tea room. She has been revealing a lot of her personal information about being in abusive relationships and how she grew up in a home like that, and it's been very forthcoming. And actually, I find it cathartic that you're able to do that. So, Teandra Frazier, my darling, I'm going to salute you over there. And everybody else who have similar stories and said that you guys identify with the program because you have been there or know people that you loved and care for who have been in those kind of situations. I, too, being a 70s baby, grew up in a household that was rather abusive. My mother and father used to fight constantly. Now, you know, though my mother was a fighter, as she was one who fought back and on a couple of occasions whooped my daddy's ass that I saw, you know, the fact remains that it was still an abusive household, and that has shaped me to this day. And then I'm one who do not advocate violence, and my last relationship, I moved here to Atlanta 5 years ago. And my first and only relationship that I had here, I called it off because my partner at the time made me so fucking mad. And I didn't think this could ever happen. But he made me so mad to where the only thing that I could do to shut his ass up was I thought I had to hit him. And when that thought came into my mind, I ended it right then. I said, if I got to hit you, I don't need you. But right now, I feel like fucking you up. And I got to walk away from here, and we are done. Because I should never get to this point where I felt I got to put my hands on you. And see, he was one of those people that liked to push that kind of shit. And that I think that's what got up under my skin most, was that he was pushing for that. And so I walked away from it. So I know the feeling, but I have never been there. And so for that, it keeps me in check all the time. So when I saw the episode with Brooke and Brooke going through the emotional issues of basically keeping Alice in prison, you know, well, who are you talking to? Well, why did you say this and this, that, and the third? You know, and then to come with the crowbar or whatever, you know, that one particular time, because Brooke just couldn't put it together. And the only way to act out was to just say, no, you're not going anywhere. You're staying here. And just grabbed the first thing and just went whack. That there was, I was like, oh, my God, are you serious? And so, yeah. So in understanding it and being there, you know, wow, that's a major trip. But the question that I had is this, and this is to all those who identify as studs. Being that you are female, and particularly for those of you who've had male partners in the past, what is that dynamic for you now as a stud? And I see a lot of studs who start to emulate that masculine behavior that they say they don't like. They become on the far extreme of what being masculine is supposed to be. What is that dynamic, particularly coming out of a relationship that was physically abusive?
Can I answer that first?
Sure.
Well, I have a 13-year-old daughter. Gives my backstory. 13-year-old daughter, and I married her father before I came out. I'm from Jersey, so we aggressive identified as opposed to stud identified. But
aggressive, I like that. Okay.
So, yes, my first relationship, I was just like him. Now, this is the catch. I got some more drama for you. While I was shooting Between Women as Brooke, my daughter contacted him, and his ex-girlfriend answered the phone. and said, look him, Google his name. We Googled his name. This was around Christmas time. We Googled his name, and my ex-husband, my daughter's father, had just been arrested for beating her up to the point where her 20-year-old daughter had to stab him in the back 20 times.
Ooh.
So he never hit me, but he told me a lot of conversations about him hitting all his other girlfriends. And after I came out, and he already knew I would be a stud, but when I allowed myself to really be who I was in front of him, because he's very aggressive, and because of our relationship and the respect I have for him, I wouldn't allow all of my stud to come out in front of him.
Dig that. Okay. I got you. Yeah.
When it finally came out, he said, this is why I couldn't hit you. And he told me, he had an argument. He said, you want to be me. And I said, I don't. However, I had just had an argument. He didn't like my first girlfriend. And I just had an argument with her. And I had to catch myself. He said, when I was you in our relationship, you walked out. And I was standing there, and I was like, but she... This, I was calling her a B-I-T-C-H. He said, you hate it when I called you that name.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but she disrespect. You hate it. He's like, you had the same mouth. Like, he had to, through that dynamic and the question that you just asked me, he reminded me that I was a woman.
I get it.
And he said, if you're going to do this, and he said, are you doing this to be better than me? And I told him no. And, you know, we have a great relationship. And he said, if you're going to do this, do me a favor. Teach me how to treat women by always remembering that you are a lady first.
Damn, that's deep.
It's real deep. So.
Damn, that's deep. Woo!
Yes. Yes. And right now, if I was to speak to him because of where he's at and what he did, he will instantly cry because I told him, I said, okay, that's my goal. I will always remind you. And he told me, he said he needed me to be a woman first because we have a daughter.
Dig it.
And not to lose myself, but he knew that I was masculine identified. He knew that. And he helped me to live beyond society. And so I tell people that I was not turned out sexually. I was turned out mentally by my husband.
Okay. Okay.
Because he taught me how to live past what people told me I had to do. And, but, you know, me being, you know, a mother and everything like that, you know, I had to teach her how to be a female first. And, you know, so we did all of that. If I talk to him now, he will instantly cry and break.
Mm.
Because in that, that is so much power. And I just want to take this opportunity to tell, I'm glad you asked this question, and to tell all my studs and aggressive brothers out there that we have to remember that even though we may not relate to our bodies, we have this ability to be a woman for a reason. And it's some part, I know, you know, some of us really don't have any relationship, and they go forth to develop into a man, and that's okay. But those of us who don't choose to do that, you know, just hear me out. And I know it's uncomfortable, and I know that we can't condition. It's a lot of pain associated with how we can't relate with the body that we're in, but don't want to be a man.
Dig the got it. Okay,
so,
got it.
But we have to find a way to use that to keep our community up.
Mm-hmm.
We are not the men that we are taught to
you
look at.
You better teach this thing. Come on now.
You know, we are not them. As a matter of fact, we are confused, and we have a right to be, because we don't have somebody standing in front of us telling us this is the proper stud to be. But we have a society that teaches us that we watch TV and we become these images.
Exactly. Exactly. And living up to stereotypes. Exactly.
Yes. However, we are from a culture of beautiful women who have always took what we needed to take and kept it moving and built on the positive, not the negative. So all those Brooks out there, when you look at your wife who's just taking it, ask yourself, why is she taking it? And then let her lead you out of that pain.
Exactly. Because that was the one thing.
To comment,
go ahead, go ahead.
Back on what Brooks said, this is Michelle, not being taught different things. I was married, and my husband never, ever put his hands on me. He never raised his voice at me. It wasn't until I got with a woman, until that emotional, that deeper connection came through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot of history, and I spoke to Noble Jules about this before. When we're raised in a household and we have parents in the heterosexual world, it's male and female, our mothers teach us women how to be good women, how to cater to our husband. The wife does this. This is what the wife should do. The man is supposed to take care of the household. This is what he's supposed to do. So when you have that child come out and say, hey, you know, I don't want to be with a male, you are kind of stuck in between the two. Because
yes.
you don't have anyone to raise you and to guard you and to say, you know, okay, you want to be a lesbian or you want to be, and then after that, you know, a person who loves women, either you want, I don't like labels, I'm sorry, but I use them just so people can understand what I'm
identifying
as. Understand,
right, at. I got you.
If you want to be a stud or if you want to be a femme or if you want to be an FTM, this is how you should be. So I think it goes way back to having a society and also parents that accept us as who we are and then teach us and train us based on who we are as individuals. I have children. I cannot teach and train them. I give them the basic necessities, but each of them have a different path. One may be a person that loves women. So, of course, I'm going to show her different things and teach her different things versus if my daughter wants to be with a male. And I don't think we have that diversity when it comes to being a lesbian. You know, we are stuck in, okay, my mom taught me this, but I want to be like my dad, and it becomes a confusing state of mind.
Exactly.
And it's not just with studs. I have seen femmes duke it out. I mean, pulling the hair weave. It comes to the person because it's not only the studs that do the abusing. I run into a lot of studs that say, hey, you know, my femme girl slaps me, beats me, takes my
yes.
phone, regulates where I go, what I do. So it becomes more on an individual situation.
Then, you know, let me ask you this, Michelle. I'm coming to y'all callers, I promise, but something just hit me. In your message being, you know, taking a look at domestic violence in this particular project, do you find that a lot of people may not want to call it domestic violence because it's female on female? I know in gay, you know, in our culture, male on male, you know, as far as police protection and this, that, and the other, it's not looked upon that, you know, hell, and especially for men, because you're taught, hell, two men are supposed to fight it out. And then I'm wondering, you know, when you see two masculine identified lesbians, those that's a politically correct term from a psychologist, Dr. Kofi, in Detroit, and she said they're called Millies. But a masculine identified lesbian, with two of them are duking it out and going toe-to-toe, you know, it's the same as if it was two dudes. So are you seeing that there's a lot of disparities still within domestic violence and LGBT cultures, particularly with reporting it, how we respond to it, and how it's looked upon?
Of course. I host a monthly event in Atlanta called Let's Talk, and we always talk about certain issues. And the two topics that we speak about all the time that the room gets completely quiet is domestic violence. You know, they'll raise their hand and say, oh, well, my friend and my friend and my friend, and no one wants to actually say, well, I'm in that situation. Or being the person that is doing the abusing, no one wants to admit that. And
right.
It is pushed under the rug because it's like, oh, they're just two women over there But those, if for real, two women, could you imagine to the degree that two women can tear up a household in a matter of hours? Because it's
exactly.
such an emotional process.
Exactly.
And people don't seem to understand that. And when you're in a heterosexual relationship and domestic violence exists, the woman usually has the underhand. You know, the man is bigger and, you know,
mm-hmm,
stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though the woman can tend to fight back, it's kind of automatically a shutdown process.
Right.
But when you have two women on the same page, on the same level, it can get really nasty. And a lot of people don't want to report it. And it comes back to also being ashamed of who we are as lesbians, you know, admitting that I am in a homosexual relationship. And not only am I now in a homosexual relationship, I'm in an abusive
relationship,
so,
on top of it. And then let me point this out, too, because I know, and correct me, anybody who wants to jump in, correct me. Dealing with the fact that we're dealing with lesbian culture, our heterosexual male counterparts tend to still eroticize two women, okay, and I, you know, as far as two women fighting, you know, it's a chick fight or whatever. Everybody waiting around to see the boobs exposed, to see this, that, and the other. It becomes a form of eroticism for our heterosexual counterparts. How is it that you, and I've been wanting to ask this question for a long time. How is it that you, as lesbian women, deal with that particular stigma, and especially those of you who are masculine identified and you're considered to be one and the same with a heterosexual male?
Tajir Nobazul? Christina?
Oh, wow, I'm sorry. I didn't get to hear the whole question because some of my coworkers are talking.
Are you at work?
Yeah, I am.
No,
so go
I'm
ahead,
saying,
Noble.
The question is, with lesbian culture still being eroticized by our heterosexual male counterparts, how is it that you guys deal with the issue of domestic violence, or just fighting, period, between two women? Because men, heterosexual men, still they're looking at a chick fight. They want to see the breasts exposed. They want to see who tough, who this, who that, to eroticize it and fantasize about it and whatever else they do with it. How is it that you, as a masculine-identified lesbian, deal with the stigma of that, considering that you are considered to be equivalent to a heterosexual male in your mannerisms?
Well, wow. I'm going to admit that I'm still stuck in between what I was taught, learned from the social world and the respect I learned coming out, because sometimes I look at it and then I'm an aroused too.
Oh, wow.
Two films. I'm going to admit to it. And I know that it's a thought process, because you put two films, I may honestly get aroused, but you put two aggressives, and I won't.
Right.
Dig it, really.
I agree totally. I don't know what it is, because I guess because those are more of trying to be, or not trying to be, or just too masculine, so I don't want to see all that. I'd rather see the film,
mm-hmm.
the two films.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here.
Unfortunately, it's cute. You know, y'all need to stop because I can, and I'm speaking for myself, and I know Tajir is nonviolent too, so it's like, don't fight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I need to calm it down.
But that's interesting,
you know?
Because as I'm sitting around here thinking about that, as when I think about being at a club and I see two Nelly Queens go at it, you know, there's nothing about that that's worth talking about. But when I see two big motherfuckers tearing some shit up, yes, I don't know what that is either. I hear you. I don't know what
that is either. But I think that honestly, I wanted to say this. I say this a lot, and yes, I love Michelle's Let's Talk. It's phenomenal, and it's what we all need to do. And I think that, you know, I'm going to take this opportunity to say that we are like the first generation of free lesbian, gay, trans people.
Dig it. I say that. You're right. You're
yeah.
absolutely right.
meaning that we still were raised by straight people and have these philosophies. And I say that to say that, guess what, y'all? We can write our own rules.
Say that. Child, if you don't sit up here, I'm about ready to backflip over here. Eat this thing.
No. We can govern it. We can make people love two studs because we love two studs.
Dig
it. We can police our own. If this is a community, then let's govern our community.
Now, see, if I didn't know no better, I'd say you was a Muslim in another life, honey, because that there's what they teach about building a nation. Anyway, I'm going to go to these phone lines. Let me go up here. Y'all been patient with me, honey. Thank you so much. I'm coming to y'all right now, honey. Let's start right here. 321-362. 321-362. Hello there, my precious pumpkin. You are dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women. Hey, darling.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I'm on the phone with y'all. Okay. What I really want to know is how can we donate to Between Women besides the website?
Oh,
is there
here we
any
go.
Other way to donate funds?
I consider donations a variety of things. Financial is our biggest thing. My cast, my production crew, we work for free. And we also have jobs outside of Between Women, and we have family, and we have different events that we do. So actually Between Women is a labor of love. We look for makeup artists. We look for graphic designers. Anything that helps cut our budget helps out. So if you are a PR person, if you're a marketing person, if you do hair and makeup, if you own a boutique, if you know someone that can donate clothes, if you can be an assistant on set, if you can be a scripting supervisor on set to make sure you guys, the continuity issues are correct, any of these things help us. And also even spreading the word helps us because eventually it will help us get in contact with more sponsors. So we are looking and always are looking for not just financially donations, but if you can do hair, if you can know how to do wardrobe, if you are a photographer and you want to help us out, if you are in another state and you are a PR person or a marketing person and you want to help us out, you can donate any way possible.
All right. Well, did that answer your question, baby?
Yes, it did, and I love the work that you guys are doing. I love the entire cast. I love anything that has to do with Between Women. You guys are doing a phenomenal job, and it's great to see our culture finally being televised, you know what I'm saying, so people can see how the Black African-American lesbian community really is.
Dig that. Dig that. Well, thank you, Sugar.
Thank
we appreciate
calling.
You, honey.
Thank you.
All right. Now, let me go over here. I'm going to 917-741. 917-741. You're dishing tea with Big Meech, darling. Hello, baby.
Hey, how are you?
I am everything, and everything is me. How are you?
I'm fine. My name is Christy Charles. I definitely, definitely love the show. I see so much of my particular circle in there. Like, I see so many dynamics that I went through personally, from Sunny to, you know, Ray to all of you guys. So I really, like the last caller, I want to PR, here I am. Like, I'll send another email. I already sent you guys an email, but I just really love the show, and I want to see it grow and blossom and just get out there. So I've definitely been spreading the word to my friends. So,
and what was your name again? You said you sent over email.
Yeah, my name is Christy Charles.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm when you guys, I'm just so excited. I've never seen something that I can identify with so much.
Wow.
The drama, the love, the, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly. You guys have it all. Like, and I don't know. I want to get in there and help out with as much as I can. So please let me know.
All right.
I'll contact you today when I look at you today.
All right.
All right. All well, right. Thank you, darling. I appreciate you. And so does the cast, honey. See, keep watching and tell everybody, honey. Tell everybody. Because this thing is going to move forward. Do you hear what I say? 731-335. 731-335. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women. Hello there, sugar. Hello? Oh, okay. We missed that call. All right, then. Let me go right here. 281-650. 281-650. I'm coming right here to you. You're dishing tea, baby. How are you? 281.
No,
okay. Okay, you're not ready to talk just yet. I'm going to put you back down. Okay, hey. You said. They weren't ready. That's okay. Okay, that's cute. That's cute. 678-670. 678-670. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women. Hello there, sugar.
Oh, my God. Is that my mother on the phone?
Your mother?
That sounded like her number.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Miss in the building.
Big Meech, this is my mom. I felt that she was going to call in. She actually plays Sonny's mother on the show. That's my real life mother.
Oh, well, what's going on? Hey, okay, now let me get into your business, honey.
I'm ready for you.
Here we go.
Get into your tea, Miss Mama. All right. Now, you know, let me ask you, because, honey, Sonny's mom is, I won't call her eccentric. What I will say is that she is more so a liberal traditional church person, you know. And I say liberally traditional because her attitude seems to be like she's an outgoing person. But when it comes down to her daughter, no, it could happen everywhere else, but not here with my daughter. You know, it could be Johnny Ray's daughter, but not mine. What do you pull from to build that character?
Because it's so real. Because that's just how I felt when raising my daughter, and I am a Christian, and I definitely believe that have my own beliefs, and I do not believe in that lifestyle at all. But because saying that, I love my daughter, I had to come to realize that I had to love my daughter no matter what, and that I didn't want to lose her or our relationship because of what I believed in. Because, I mean, she may be this today, then next year she may be something else. I don't know. So I didn't want to flip-flop with what I believed in, so I just had to continue to love her and let her be who she wanted to be. What I pulled from that is that's how I felt. It was all around me. It was okay. I mean, you know, not okay, but it was all around me. It didn't affect me. And then when it affected me at my household, then that's when I had a problem with it.
Wow, did I clock that? Because give that. Exactly.
Yes. I had a problem, and because I loved her, I feel like I invested so much in her. I loved her, and she was born as a female, you know, in society, how we live is that the male and the female. And because of that, and I see all this other stuff going, I was like, you know, it's not even worth it. The drama they have, the fighting, the, you know, how people treat them. I've learned so much. So I'm like, I mean, why? Because there's just so much going on. But you did it. Because I love my daughter. And I'm very proud of her and what she's mm-hmm. doing. And I just want to see her, you know, continue to be who she is. And I'm praying. I pray for her, the cast, everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because of what I believe in. So that's a whole different topic. That's a whole other topic.
It is. And this is not to sit down and to change your beliefs, because where you come from is where we have to accept you. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
yes.
Let me ask this question, because mm-hmm. I had to do this with my mother. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, everything was cool. I came out to my mother at 16 because I had to. I had gotten very, 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 very ill. And the doctors told me that I was supposed to have had gotten better, and I in 2 weeks and a month later, I was no good. And my mother thought that it was AIDS. at that time, but it was called microplasma pneumonia, which is common among teenagers. But the way how it was told to us, it was a rare pneumonia. Mm-hmm. But when I came out to her, we were fine in the beginning because we didn't talk about it. Then I had a boyfriend problem that was too big for me to handle. And I went to her. That was the very first time that we actually talked about me and a relationship issue. Then it was fine. But then she got back into the church and got, you know, rededicated her life to Christ and things. And then all of a sudden, here it is. Now, that was at 16. I'm 27, 28 years old now. And then we had to go on this emotional roller coaster. I was like, okay, now, sister, wait a minute. You girl, okay, we've been at this too long for you to go here.
Yeah.
But what I had to learn from her was that was her adjustment period, because then she had to realize what God meant to her and what her personal belief was. Now we're fine. But my question to you as a mother is, when was it or when is it that you had to accept the fact that that's my daughter's life and not mine? Because, like you said, I had so many dreams, and I dreamt this, and I wanted her this. And then when you were at that point where you said, let me step back because this is her life, what was that dynamic for you?
Well, from the beginning, it never did sit right with me. I mean, I was upset from the beginning. Her first thing was called Broken Silence is basically what happened between her and I.
It was really, really bad.
Michelle never did come to me and sit down and talk to me about it. I kind of found out, and the way I found out, it was just like, you know, I had so many questions, and it was just crazy. Why? But I think if she had came to me and sat down and talked to me, it probably would have been the same, but not quite as bad.
Right.
You know, I probably would have felt the same, but not quite as bad. So it was like we went through a bad period, and I fought against her the whole 9 years. I mean, I fought. And then one day I just realized, I mean, I was in church and I was praying and everything, and I was just trying to, you know, pray for her to see what was going on, asking God to help our relationship. And then one day something just told me, I went to a meeting Michelle had at Let's Talk, and I heard a couple of the ladies saying that some of their friends had killed themselves because of that, you know, their parents didn't believe in them, and everybody want their mother, if not the father, they want their mother to kind of understand what they're going through.
So
between that and between the spiritual awakening that I had, that the Lord really touched my heart, I just felt that it wasn't worth me losing my daughter or being away from her because of her lifestyle. And so I learned to try to come in and respect what she do. And a lot of the cast didn't even know how I felt. They, you know, because I'm classified as gay friendly now. Gay friendly. Because
nobody told me I was gay friendly. Does that mean I'm gay? I'm like, no, you love gay people.
You love gay people. So what happened, I had to learn that God created each individual. He created them. So that's his creation. So I have to love his creation. And
right.
What they do and who they are, I feel like that's between them and God. They got to stand before God, just like I have to stand before God and give account for my life, so do they. So I just realized that I wanted Michelle in my life. I wanted my grandchildren in my life, and I love her unconditionally. I think I'm like Sunny. I love Michelle just too much sometimes, you know, because I always, you know, I really do. I love her. And so I just realized one day that I wanted to be a part of her life, and that I would come in and one day at a time and start accepting what she, you know, is about, what she do, and now I'm so involved in her work until it's just, I can't believe it sometimes that I really sit down and read all the reviews. I sit down and look at all the shows. I just go through the whole thing now with her. But it took an adjustment because it's kind of hard as a parent for somebody to come out like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't easy at first.
Almost did, Miss Mama.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm gonna leave your mic up. Let me go here. 202-594. 202-594. Hello there, my darlings. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women. Hey, baby.
Hello.
594. Yes, baby. You, sugar.
Hi. How are you?
We are everything, and everything is us. How are you?
I'm
I'm fine. I want to start out by introducing myself. My name is Jaguar Royale from D.C. I'm actually Todd Jr.'s D.C. son in the Royale
chapter.
Oh,
chapter.
Hey. Yes, hey, how are all of you guys?
Oh, man, he was about to get on the road. His car just dropped. Damn it.
Oh,
that's all right. Call back in, baby. Call back in. Let me go here.
1 o'clock,
okay, I'm going to go here. 804-837. 804-837. You're dishing tea with Big Meech in the castle between women. Hey, sugar.
How y'all doing? I'd like to say hi to you, Big Meech, for a very good show. And,
thank you, baby.
And just to make this quick and short, for every dollar that the fans of Between Women donate in between the months of May and June, I'll match that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, was that loud?
Wow.
This is coming from Black Card Media Universal from out of New York and Virginia.
Hey,
wow.
Thank you.
Oh, well,
wow.
That ain't an endorsement, baby. Not that there. Okay, then.
Thank you. If you need any information from me, if you can email me at Marcella Between Women TV, and I can get you in contact with the marketing our marketing team.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much.
You guys enjoy the show. Tretch is here tripping because he doesn't believe that he's actually listening to a lesbian show, but he's really fascinated. So we're going to continue to listen, and y'all have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you so much for that, baby. We appreciate you. How about that one?
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. Wow, baby. Okay, now. Okay.
Wow.
I would just say wow. 252-883, baby. You're dishing tea with Big Meech in the castle between women. Hey, sugar.
Hi.
Hey.
I just want to let the cast know that I love their show. Like, my best friend, watch it every time and sit up at night and wait for them to, like, bring it out on YouTube. My question was, in the future, do y'all, are y'all going to travel with the show, like, go to different cities?
Oh, good question.
Because it's a lot of people that don't know about it. I tell a lot of people about it, tell them to go watch them and support them. And I would like to know, it's a lot of people that don't know. And when either gay or straight, once they watch it, they love it.
We have talked about traveling, but you have to understand that I have such a big cast. It's 10 of us. It's 10 cast members, 4 people on our production team, about 4 or 5 uh-huh. people. And just even if we were to take myself or Christina and another cast member, you know, a lot of things cost because we have to have marketing materials. We have to have different things of that nature. But it has been something that has been talked about. And along with donations, you know, this can possibly help us get us out there bigger and better. And what people have to understand that if we want our voices to be heard, and when I say our voices, I mean anybody part of the LGBTQI community, and also even beyond that, if you was an African American as a single mother, if you want your voice to be heard, you have to support the community. And, you know, if our voices can be heard, mainstream can respect us more.
Exactly.
And they will be able to understand us more, and we will have more rights and say so on how we feel and how we want to live. So it's all about supporting. So, if we can, you know, financially one day, hopefully season 2 will give us a good jump start. We have some ideas in mind that we can start traveling.
I can't financially help you, but I will pray and I will get y'all, I will get the word out and tell people about you. Tell them too.
Thank you.
My name is Kiva Wester. I'm from North Carolina, Enfield, North Carolina, and y'all show has influenced me a lot. Like, my parent, my mother, she don't like that I'm gay. And she don't understand the reason why I am, and she don't try to, so sometimes it makes me feel some type of way, like she don't love me, but I know that's not the fact. Ooh, sorry, I'm about to get emotional. Then, like, I have brothers and sisters that's under me, and the only thing she thinks about is, oh, I'm going to automatically turn them, get hurt to me.
Sweetie,
can I just say one thing?
Go ahead,
your mother
baby.
Does love you. She loves you more than what you think she loves you. And sometimes that's our wall that we build up because it's like, I love you so much until I don't want you to be this way. And so it's not that she doesn't love you, she loves you any less. It's that she doesn't want you to do what you do. And so she has this thing, you know, I love you so much. And so when it comes back to you, like she doesn't love you. But that's not true. You know, I mean, your mother loves you, no doubt about it.
Another thing, too, baby, let me give you this, because you sound young. And one of the things about parenting is that our culture, being lesbian, gay, bi-attractional, transgender, is that there's a lot of pain in this walk because we get ostracized, we become dehumanized, you know, there's a lot of bashing, there's a lot of everything. And a lot of our parents don't want us to become a part of those statistics. So in that tough love that they have for us, removing a lot of the spiritual stuff that they use as their foundation, as human beings and parents, they don't want us to be hurt. They want us to be happy, but they see that our culture is not necessarily the happiest culture on the planet because of all of the isms and schisms and disms and thatums that we deal with. So what I'm going to offer to you, baby, is always allow your voice to be heard because you can only be you. And just like I was explaining to Mom, it is your life. Now, sometimes that means you may have to separate from folks in order to find out who you are. But when love is real and love is genuine, it will come back to you. So just give your mom and all those around you a little bit of time to process. Because the process is sandpaper for the soul, baby. It's going to take a minute. It's going to hurt. It's going to go through all of that. But when you come on the other side of it, you're going to be a smooth, polished piece that can stand forth and weather the storm. Now, that may sound like pretty words right now, but I want you to sit down and meditate on that for just a minute. And every day, just always know it's the process. And when you get on the other side of it, you'll be cool.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I know I have been gay for a while. I've been gay ever since, like, I was 15 or 16. Now I'm 21. I'm about to turn 22. My mom's been knowing ever since. When I first came out, I told her. At first, she was like my best friend, but now it's like we don't talk. I haven't talked to her, like, about anything ever since I was 15. And it feel like I've been by myself every since.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay, though, because once you find somebody that you can trust, that you can tell folks to, and that you can sit down and build up a confidence in, then you'll be able to build the family that you need. And your biological family will still be there. But one of the things that you have to understand, too, is that we have the power to create the family that we need. You put folks in your life, honey, that's going to empower you, that's going to embrace you, that's going to love you for just who you are. And that helps to weed out all of that negative stuff that comes your way. And it's not going to be an easy process because some folks are fake, and they be in your life for a little second or whatever until they can get whatever they can get from you, then they move on about their business. But you're going to learn that. That's just part of life, period. But when you got that core, those folks in your life, honey, that you know got your back, if I rub your feet, you're going to scratch my back and rub my head. That's when you know you're going to be all right. And it's going to take a minute. But as you build it and as you age and get wisdom and experience up under your belt, sugar, you'll be all right.
Amen. Thank you for the advice, and I will follow it. I love you guys very much, and I will be waiting for this next episode that's going to come out.
We all are, honey, because I'm on the fence, child. I got to see what this is all about. Okay?
Right.
All right, baby. Keep listening to me, okay? Thank you, baby. Love you. Mean it. All right, let's go here. 405-305. How are you, baby? You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast
oh,
of Between Women.
I am doing so good today that Between Women is on the radio. I want to tell you guys that I am so proud of you. I see that from the first episode to this episode, you guys have came such a long way, and you guys are putting African-American lesbians on the map, and you guys have such a big fan base out here in San Diego, California, and I love you guys so much. So I have my question is, it's not a series as all the other callers, but, you know, you have some straight cast members and you have some lesbian cast members. How hard is it to get them to interact with each other? Because I seen Natalie and Miller sex scene, and ooh, baby, it gave me life. Now, beautiful.
How did it give you life? You better say that.
Natalie, Ray and Beautiful, you know, they was a little, you know, kissy-kissy, but, you know, that Natalie and Miller, ooh, Lord Jesus. So how hard is it to get them to interact with each other?
Director.
Oh, my cat.
Okay, if I like to comment, I was not in town for this sex scene that was being filmed. And you guys, the bedroom of the bedroom of Miller is actually my bedroom. So everybody was like, this, I don't like watching my cats have sex and stuff like that. It's like my children. So it's really hard to watch it. So everybody was talking about this sex scene. And I didn't see it yet. And I said, well, let me go see what was going on in my bed. So I log on, and I see, you know, Miller and Natalie. I'm like, dang, that is the most action my bedroom has had in a few times.
Okay.
So it gave me life also. But I wasn't here. So go ahead, director.
Let me first say, our cast is awesome. We have such a downcast. Man, we asked them to do some crazy things that I think a lot of people might not have done. But, you know, after the kicking and screaming and temper tantrums, they'd be like, all right, Christina, what we doing? Let's go.
Right.
So, you know, our straight actresses, they came into this with an open mind. We had a lot of people who we casted. Even for the role of Winnie, I think we might have gone through about 4 or 5 different actresses because they would be like, yeah, I can play gay. That's cool. And then when they got the script, they were like, oh, I think I changed my mind.
I can't be that gay. Okay, fine.
Right. This woman's too gay for me. So when Toya came along, she said, you know, I'm going to come into this with an open mind. Shamanique, Dominique. They all said they were going to come into this with an open mind and really just give it their 110% effort. And no matter what we ask them to do, you know, it takes a little coaching. We have to do sometimes what we call lesbian boot camp.
Lesbian 101.
Lesbian 101. Okay. Lesbian boot camp, where we kind of demonstrate, show them a few little things, find some clips on the internet from different shows. Now, okay, this is what lesbians do. You can't touch her like she's your sister, girlfriend, sorority sister. You know, that's not how lesbians get down. And after that, then they, like, you know, fine, we're just going to do it. And then, you know, what you see is what you get.
Okay, did that.
Okay, well, I just want to let you know that it was beautiful, baby, and it gave me life. And, honey, if y'all need some outside cast members from another state to do some sex scenes with some members, just let me know on Twitter, okay?
Wow. I love it.
Wow. I love you, y'all, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. So have a good day, okay?
Thank you.
All right, baby. Thank you, sugar.
Oh. Hey, Big Me, I have Miller on the line, she says. She was trying to get in.
Where's she at? What's her?
Miller. Her last, her first digits are, look, everybody's going to be like, 404-452.
What's that?
404-452.
Okay, hold on. Let me find it.
Girl, they're going to figure out the last four.
Right. Wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
How's it going to get you guys?
Girl, they're going to get you talking that time.
404-452. Hold on. Where you at? I got so many callers on here. Y'all better do this thing.
No, somebody done repeated the number in the chat.
They surely did. It was like 452.
Okay.
It was Camilla Harris.
Okay, right.
Even
okay.
Though she's a dog. Oh my God.
I know,
wait
right?
Wait a minute. No, she got the call back in because I don't see her number in the call queue.
Huh?
She's not here.
Are we
on here? Oh, yes, she is. 452. There we go. Miller. Hey. What's up?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Trent.
Hello.
What's
hey,
up,
hey,
Trent?
Hey,
what's good,
what's
Trent?
Going on?
You, baby.
I see. No. I'm having fun. It's early in the morning here. I'm like, wow. Like, y'all wide awake. I'm still trying to get my coffee.
She's in Hawaii
okay.
on vacation.
Lord have mercy.
What?
Dre.
What?
Miller.
Yeah.
Just the player. Okay, the smooth talking. What? I guess I could call you the panty wetter. Because
uh-oh.
Whatever it is that you're sitting up there going through. Okay, right. Somebody said them lips. Don't this child give me that LL flavor when she licked them damn lips, child?
Oh, my God.
You better stop playing. I said, okay,
oh
this is it. Now, here's the thing. Give us what it is that you pulled from to develop Miller to be who Miller is.
Oh, that's a good question. I pulled from a little bit of my past.
Oh, well, did that?
Era in my life when I was definitely a lot like Miller. So that's pretty much where I pull it from. As far as her style and stuff like that, that's still pretty similar, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty much the same as Miller's, but in terms of, you know, her whore-ism, that's not me at all these days.
Okay. So, okay, I'm digging it. Now, let me go here with the character of Miller, because, you know, the whole idea of Miller having, you got Natalie in waiting, you got the other child sitting over here, okay, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of that, and Rhonda, you know, going through all her changes, and you're putting her out every 2 minutes, you know,
right.
Okay, get the stepping, you know, you put your inner Martin on, okay, get the stepping and things.
Right.
What is it about Miller that is his redeeming or her redeeming quality, you know, that you believe that keeps Miller in the cut? Outside of Miller's sex appeal, because everybody, Miller got charisma out of this motherfucking world. That there is the tea. But what is Miller's redeeming quality?
As far as why they stick around? Or why they put up with her men?
For Miller himself, what is it that keeps folks drawn to Miller that folks may not get? What do you think that they miss of Miller?
I think that women realize that Miller is a very committed person. You know, she's committed to her family, and if she's in a relationship or if she's with someone that she truly loves and cares about, then she's in it 100. And I think they realize that she's also a provider. She's stable, so she can create a stable, you know, environment for her family and that kind of thing. So they know that she's a good woman, but they, you know, everybody wants to mold that bad boy or that bad girl into the person that they want them to be. Everybody wants to be that person to change the bad boy. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I think Rhonda feels like she can change Miller. You know, I think I can be the one to, you know, to change Miller, transform her into being the woman that I need her to be, because it's in her.
Right.
You know? But the idea is, that's not what Miller's heart is.
No, Miller's over there with Natalie. The red bone.
Right. Well, that's what her heart is.
Right. Dig that. Now, let's go here, because I want to explore this idea now that Miller is about to go through this whole metamorphosis of loss. You know, dealing with the fact that, you know, just lost your family, this car accident, carrying on. What are we doing here? that is going to, what can we expect from Miller? Because already we're starting to see these emotional slurps, you know, the whole alcoholism and carrying on. What can we expect as far as character development for Miller?
I think Miller is going to get it together for a minute. You know, she realizes that life is too short, and she's coming back for her baby, and, you know, her baby is, you know, we see that she's kind of welcoming her with open arms, like, okay, you know. So I think she's really going to get it together, but at the same time, she's still Miller, you know. She's still Miller, so she may not, it may not last long. I don't know. I'm not
okay,
the writer.
Okay, dig
but,
that.
But
dig
I feel
that.
Like, you know, at the same time, she's still Miller. She's still got that dog, that dogish way, even though she loves Natalie and she's trying to make it work. She's still Miller at the end of the day, so you never know what's going to happen. There's so many twists and turns between women. We just don't know.
Okay, now dig that.
Yeah.
Let me press
yeah.
pause for just a second. Those of you who are listening by computer, I am down to the last 60 seconds of the show. If you're on the phone, stay there because I'm going to come. I'm going to get all of your questions as long as the cast got time. But we're down, so it's going to stop streaming. So if it just cut off, everything will be heard in the archives. You can hear everything there, okay? So I want to thank all of you for listening now, and I want to get to these phone lines. So let me go here, because now that we have – yes, go ahead.
This is Christina, director. I do have Lookalive, who plays Ray Tyson, on the line with us.
Well, what's – okay.
Wanted to jump in the conversation. She's on three-way on my phone. Girl.
Oh, well, okay. Well, hey, as long as you're on the phone, baby, we got it. Yeah.
How you
come
doing?
Come on, look. What's up, Ray? My dog, my nigga. What's up?
What's up, my dude?
What's up, son? Okay. Y'all, you know what? Let me say this real quickly, because that there I am finding to be so hilarious to me. Because, like I said, I'm not around lesbians a lot. So when we hear, you know, the whole male references, when Miller and Mecca were about to go throw it down, boy, stay in your lane, boy, you know. And I'm not used to hearing lesbians refer to themselves in the masculine persona that way. I know we as gay children, we call each other girl and woman or Karen all the time. So, you know, it's only natural to assume that that's happening. It's just that it tickles me to death when I hear it.
True that.
Okay. So what's up with you, Ray? What's going on in the mind of Ray, the family man? The one, you know what, Ray is the one that a lot of folks, everything that Miller just said Miller is what we see in Ray. But Ray is also the pipe dreamer, wanting to get into this, get into that, and go through all these particular changes. But you're the one that seems to be the most stable out of everybody as far as the relationship and stuff is concerned, being there, the family man, taking care of the baby, you know, but yet you're still challenged because everything is not necessarily brought to the table because you ain't there yet where you want to be financially and things. Tell us about Ray.
Well, I think that it's always a catch-22 in life. Sometimes you get the rich guy and he's never there, and then you get the guy that's trying to make it. You know, he's always looking out for you. I think Ray represents the 9-to-5 guy that's a good guy just trying to take it to the next level, you know.
Dig it.
And
dig
the
it.
Fact that I'm in love with this kid, you know, is making it more important for me now to make it in the world, you know, because now I have responsibility.
Okay, dig that. Okay, dig that.
True that.
Dig that. Okay. So now having this kind of responsibility and being masculine identified, what is your challenge that you see with dealing and interacting with society? Let's take, for instance, the rap scene, being on the street corner, because you could have you stole that, okay? You flowed that. So what's the challenge for Ray in just interacting in everyday life?
Well, I don't think Ray really has a challenge in interacting in daily life. I think maybe more so because it was a rap battle, you know, that's an easy dig. You know, it's an easy
dig it.
I would say. To say that, you know what I mean, especially when a girl ripping you up, you don't really have anything. That's an easy out to say, you know, something derogatory referring to my sexual preference. But I think that Ray is just a cool cat. You know, I think that Ray is probably a cat that can make gender disappear in the sense of just the type of person that I am. I think a man or a woman, if real recognized real, you should be able to respect it. You know what I mean?
Dig that. Okay, then there you go. Okay, real recognizes real. I like that. I like that. Okay. Well, then let's go here because we got a lot of folks that's trying to get their calls in and want to say something and say hellos. And I said I was going to let them do that. Let me go here. 904-300. Hello, darling. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing today?
Everything is love, all of the above and beyond, baby. What's up?
Man, this H6, you know what I'm saying? I was hollering at Winnie earlier, you know. But I wanted to ask her, you know, has she ever been in a situation, you know, in a relationship, like a Miller or Rhonda relationship?
Who are you?
Call at 2:30, so she left. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, damn, okay, I didn't even see her call drop, but that's okay. I'm sorry, baby, she won't be able to answer that because she had to pull out and I didn't even know she was gone. Oh, damn. But that was a very good question, though. Did you have anything else for anyone else on the panel?
No, yeah, I just keep doing a good job, you know. I love the show.
All right then, baby. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for sticking around with us, okay?
All right.
All right, now, let's go right here, 314-267, 314-267. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women.
Hello, hello. I just want to say you guys do a terrific, terrific job. I love Zilla, even though you're a dog. I love you, I love you, I love you. Thank you for making her because, oh, my God, there's so many of her out here. But we still love you. I don't know why, but we do. Ray, I love your accent. And, oh, my God, you're married and beautiful. That's so cute. Even though I knew that was going to happen the whole season, Christina Michelle, thank you for bringing about the lesbian baby mama drama, because it is. I'm so serious. What else do I want to say? Mecca. I'm glad you guys created Mecca because I was recently in a relationship with someone who wanted to become a trans man.
And I didn't know how to take that or how to deal with that because if we use stereotypes, people consider me as a gold star lesbian. Because I've never been with a man before. So, I was kind of, like, confused. Like, how am I going to be a lesbian and you wanted to turn into a man? Like, how is that supposed to work? You know, and that just didn't work out. But I still love her, and I'm there for her through her process because she did the surgery and a lot of things. But that's a big issue. I just love the show. I am also a part of an LGBT Greek organization, Final Cap Authority Incorporated, and we talk about you guys all the time. We just love your show, and thank you, thank you, thank you. And Miller, I love you.
I love you too.
Kaja, you had a question?
Yeah, I do have a question. What's your name again, caller?
My name's Tamika Truitt.
Okay, quick question about, you said you was in a relationship with someone who wanted to transition. You said you didn't stick with it? Because you want to be labeled as lesbian anymore?
No, it wasn't that. It was just that when I knew her, because we knew each other for a very long time, like, she didn't want me to call her anymore, or she wanted to identify with me, and it was really hard for me. And, like, she was like, if you can't accept this, then we can't be together anymore. And it's not that I didn't accept her, because I still love her, but as far as being in a relationship with her, I couldn't do it anymore. Like, I couldn't do it.
Well, you know, never mind. I ain't going to speak on it.
What did you say? I love you since Walk Like a Man. Thank you. No, it's
thank
like,
you.
Yes.
Thank you very much. You know what I want to say about that is,
Okay, we hold on, wait, reposition yourself because we got a lot of. Are you outside? I hear like some like wind or something.
Okay, yes.
There we go.
Okay. Even though that person wants to or it has transitioned, they're still the same person inside. And so many of us, so many of the films, they look at STM as being confused or they just want to be a man. And it's not that. That's who they are inside. And they don't have a lot of people to support them.
Exactly.
It's not who they identify, you know, what label they identify. It's who they are inside. And I'm just saying, you love that person as a woman. Why couldn't you love that person and be with that person and support that person as they transition through to become a man? They're still the same person inside. And nothing on you. Don't give me. I'm not dogging on you. To each his own. We love who we love. But I hear so many times lesbians say they can't be with an FTM because they're not going to be a lesbian anymore. Well, if you're dating, if you're with somebody in a relationship, and you look at that person as your potential mate, your forever, your everything. You know. So just because they want to transition, now you want to cut that off? I don't. I never understood that.
A lot of that comes from conditioning. You know, we as human beings, you know, we are afraid of labels. We are afraid of being relabeled. And, you know, within our culture is very superficial. So, I know when two feminine guys are together, we say that they dyking out. Okay, and so whenever that happens, I'm not sure what y'all call it when y'all see two girls together or two fems together, but whenever we see that, you know, it tends to rub the wrong way, and a lot of folks just can't handle that pressure. So when you're dealing with folks who are transitioning and taking it to the next level, a lot of folks don't know what that is, and then they're not ready to deal with all of that. So what ends up happening, it's selfish. It becomes a selfish thing on both parts because the person transitioning is like, okay, I just need you to stand behind me. And maybe not necessarily understand it from the other side of the coin because you're in your transition and want the love and the support. And the other person is like, okay, that's what you're doing, but what about me? You ain't thought about me in this. And it becomes a miscommunication all the way across the board. And then we get stuck with all the isms and schisms, and then you have a broken up relationship.
Exactly. And that's why I feel that FTM, who is going through counseling, should also include their mates and family members so they can get a clear understanding of what the individual is actually going through. Because it's not going to be hard just on them, but also those who are a part of their life.
Exactly. Okay, let me go here. 202-594. 202-594. Do I got you back, baby?
Yes, you have me. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, and hello to everyone of the cast. How you doing, Pop?
Hey, Junior.
Hey, I just want to say, very good job on the show, you guys. I truly love it. You have a huge fan base here in D.C. The show displays the realism of lesbian culture, and that's what I love about it. It's not HBO. It's not Showtime. It's not the real L word. It's true life lesbianism, and I love it. I even have my little sister watching it because she came out and said that she likes women. So I have her watch your show because your show displays the real things that we go through in life, and I just want to say great job to all you guys.
Well, all thank right. You. That's very encouraging.
Man.
Very, very encouraging. I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. That's very encouraging. Now, hold on. I got to find this number because she done put it up in here 1,500 times. And I need to go to this child. Wait a minute. Do it again. Okay. Six. Oh, this is it. Okay, right here.
Yes.
Hello there, darling. You're dishing tea with Big Meat?
Yes.
Is this you, Tiandra?
Yes, sir, it is. Yes,
all
it
right,
is.
I wanted to make sure I found you, honey.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to say that I love this show. I just started watching it a few weeks ago, and I, OD'd on, episode 1 through 8.
and then I caught up.
Okay.
I feel like I am funny. I'm that awkward person that has that just came not too long ago, and I don't know if I want to be a stud, if I want to be a fem, if I want to be a stem, if you understand. I'm all of it. Like, I dress like a girl, I dress like a boy sometimes. I'm mixed right up, if you, you know. And my mother, basically, it's been hard coming out because the whole chastising situation and her being a Christian 100%, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've been in the church since I was 8 months old.
Wow.
You know, so it's like it's been really, really hard. It got so bad that she wouldn't let my ex move out of the house. And he used to be here. And it got so bad, we went to a Halloween party one time, and I got so drunk that I pulled a gun on myself.
Oh, Lord.
Exactly. And I was just crying, screaming, she doesn't love me anymore, da da da. But over the years, I got better. But watching this show and seeing Sunny and all that, and, like, seeing how having a fam helps you accept yourself. Because
mm-hmm.
when I was going through all of that, I didn't have anybody. It was just me, you know.
Right.
So when I met her, Carla. She is like, she was my rock. She helped me through so much. But you know, long story short, I just wanted to get through to say hi to Ray, because I'm a friend of hers on Facebook, and I told her that I wanted to make a record with her one day.
All right.
What's up? Huh?
What's up with you, yo?
You know who you're talking to, right?
Possibly.
Yeah, I know you have like a million people. I'm sorry, but yeah, man, I'm trying to get into the studio, but I don't know. I'll see what's up, but I really want to make a song with you one day.
Yo, I appreciate it, man. You got some music out. You can send me a link to.
You already know. I got you, man. I got you, all man. Right. All right. Well, thank you for letting me come through, Big Meat.
Oh, baby, mm-hmm. I had to, honey. Okay.
Thank you, because you know I was going in about them numbers.
Girl. Okay.
Okay.
All right, baby. Well, thank you, baby.
All right.
I
love
appreciate
you all.
You.
Thank you so much.
All right.
All right.
Have mercy. See, you know, I'ma say this because, see, when it's for you, nobody can take it away. And it's all about divine timing. One of the things that we all have to understand, and we're hearing this a lot, you know, a lot of people have been met, particularly black folks, because the church has been a part of us and a part of our upbringing. What ends up happening is that whenever we decide to step out and then come out of the shadows of the pastor's walk with God, mama's walk with God, and understand your own walk and your own journey, then that's when faith takes over and then starts to need to be exercised. Because the journey, honey, is not cute if you don't exercise that. And a lot of times to embark on this particular project, you see what the project has done for itself. And Michelle, you see how even in your own life, and even though your mother still has her staunch beliefs and is standing on what her foundation is, the Spirit has still opened her up enough to where now she can embrace the work, because the work we have is much bigger than just a you thing or a me thing. It becomes what it's doing for the rest of everybody else. It's the give, it's the give, and it's the give. And when you hear these stories of folks finding their freedom, understanding their authenticity and things, that there is what causes that unspeakable joy that we all been taught. You know? So let's go here. Let me go to 314-267. 314-267. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women.
Hi, yes. I already talked. I mean, I could talk again because I wanted to say something about the trans men out there, as Pajar was saying, what she was saying. It's not that I didn't want to be with her for that reason, but it was a hard period for me to adjust to it. She just wanted me to just accept it just like that. And I couldn't. And so with that being said, she decided that, you know, it wasn't right, you know, for us to be together. So a great friend. I've been with her through it all. But there was a lot of things that I just couldn't accept. Like I couldn't accept that you wanted me to just, you know, stop calling her after we had been together for the amount of time we were together. You know, you just wanted me to stop calling you this name and start calling this name. And if I didn't, then it would be a problem. And so with that, with us arguing back and forth all the time, that couldn't work.
All right. Well, all righty then, darling. Well, yeah, and you're right. So, again, you had to come into your own comfort zone. And at that particular time, that probably you wasn't there yet. So, and,
exactly.
You know,
and I'm
completely
also,
understandable.
You know, just, you know, keeping it all the way 100, I was also, you know, a lesbian, and she knew what we were together. Like, I hate penetration. Like, I'm just keeping it 100. That's
right.
Not something that I enjoy or like. And, you know, she was like, well, with me transitioning, is that something that you will open up to? And I was like, if you've known me since I was 16 and you know that that's something I don't like, why would you ask me that? And she was like, well, I really don't think we should be together. So, I mean, I still love her.
Right, but at that particular point, yeah, the relationship changed, and so did the dynamics. And so yeah, y'all grew apart anyway. So, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right then, darling. All right, honey. I love this. I love it. Okay, let's go here. 706-289. You're dishing tea with Big Meech in the Castle Between Women. 706. All right, I'm going to put you back down. We're going to go right here. 716-259-716.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
I'm on, hey. What's going on? Hey, lady.
You. What's up, baby?
I want to say what's up to everybody, the entire cast. I love the show. Okay, I've been online chatting with everybody in the room. We all excited. I want to direct what I have to say mostly to Michelle. Once the show goes big, I mean, because we all know it's going to get picked up and it's going to be awesome. Like, we all are so in love with the characters and, you know, can you make a commitment to the fans now that you will do what you can to maintain the original characters on the show when we look up and see it on HBO? No, for real. Because, like, we're getting to know everybody. Everybody's getting closer bonds. You know how between women, how our emotions and our bonds grow? Like, come on. We just want a commitment from the fans. But no, when I look up, I'm going to see Miller. Okay? When I look around, I'm going to see Miller. Okay? Like, don't play with me, Richard.
Ooh, well, okay, well, girl, wait a minute, honey. You sound like and if I don't, you sound like you pretty good to strap up, baby. Okay.
See, I'm an aggressive fan, but I'm willing to take down for Christina. I keep telling Michelle to text me her number. She don't want to do that. But I know Christina got her beat like a champ. Okay.
Okay. Lord have mercy.
We love our cast, and we want to take. And the thing about it is when you watch the fans, half of the cast has never acted like Dredd, who plays Miller. She's never acted in anything before. You would never tell, but it's
right.
Like a natural thing. And you have Ray, look, who's never acted before, but comes on and brings everything that they have. I would love for our voices to be heard. I would love to bring my production team and also my actresses along with us when we get picked up on the TV network. I mean, it would only make sense. They already fell in love with the characters, so why not keep them aboard? So, you know, I have spoken to them about it and, you know, crossing our fingers that we do get picked up on the network and that everybody can remain in place as we are.
But let me interject this, because one of the things about this business called show,
mm-hmm,
is that if the networks and the people that have the money, they're called the executive producers,
mm-hmm,
if they feel that because they hold the purse strings, they make all the important decisions, and it's either yay or nay. If you want to get picked up and they say, okay, I'm going to make these particular changes because instead of Dredd in this character, I want Queen Latifah. Instead of Onyx in the role of Allison, I want that to be Gabrielle Union, or whatever the case may be, it's either, okay, do I cut them loose, or do I go ahead on and make this happen? And a lot of times, those particular, that's a hard sacrifice. But at the same time, if it's for the show, then that decision would be made when it's time. But a lot of times, you know, we become accustomed to what's been offered and what's been given, and then your hands get tied, and that's all about politics and making money, baby.
And I tell the cast that all the time, and I tell them, you know, when you're on set, you're fighting for your character and you're fighting for your role. So if we do get picked up, you want that network to say, I want to keep this person. You know what I'm saying? So it's all based on individual also, and it's, you know, it's that whole package, like you said, in the entertainment industry. You know, it gets kind of finicky.
Okay.
Well, I'm just gonna say one more thing. I don't want to keep you guys long. Speaking on what Tajir said earlier about us governing our own community, do our clan such a big role in that right now, Michelle? You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, you such a pioneer in the gay community with this whole thing, because we are shaping a lot of what is coming up. There's a lot of, like, especially here in Buffalo, New York, it's a lot of young gay boys and girls that's coming out, and it's, like, really prominent. You know what I'm saying? So, like, a lot of what we do and what they see on the internet and on TV and around it, it shapes who they become in our community. And I really appreciate what you ladies have been saying and putting out there. A lot of it is positive and noble, touched right home with me. I love y'all. Keep up the work. And Christina, holla at your girl.
Okay.
Hey,
Christina.
Well, all righty then. Okay now. Okay. Can you stand it, honey? I love it. You can't do nothing but love it. Let me go here. I want to see who this is. 909-205. You're dishing tea with Big Meech. Hey.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, how you guys doing?
All right. What's going on, baby?
All right. I'm good. I had just got up. I put my phone on speaker, got up to get dressed for work. As I'm speaker listening. Okay. Now, I am really into astrology and signs, and I was just calling to see what all the cast member signs are. Like I think in the in the behind-the-scenes special, we found out that Luke's sign was a Leo, and it makes total sense for Ray. Total sense. Nobody but a Leo could do that role. So I was just going to see.
Why you say that?
Because Leos, you guys are made to shine. See, exactly. Look, she asking me to tell me how good she is. Leo.
Yeah, I like that.
But, first of all, I love everything you guys do for the community. This is a great show. Anything I can do to help, I will help. But first, y'all got to tell me your signs.
I'm Michelle. I'm a Scorpio.
Who's a Scorpio?
Michelle.
Okay.
So this is Tajir. I'm an Aries.
Okay.
Christina is a Cancer.
Aww.
Okay, Mila.
I think we lost her.
Aww.
I got Mila's line open.
She's a Taurus.
But Mila's a Taurus.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Is Brooke still here, or did Brooke have to go?
Brooke left.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Is that enough for you to work with for right now?
Yes.
We'll get the rest of them, honey.
Okay.
Get the rest of them and make sure that we post it up in tea rooms and carry it on for you, okay?
All right. Thank you so much. I love the show. Keep up the good work. I hope you guys get picked up and just keep it real.
All right, thank you.
All right, baby.
Thank you, sugar.
Bye.
All right. Lord, 804-252. If I don't get this call right here, 804-252, you're dishing tea with Big Meech. Hello.
Hello, Big Meech. I have enjoyed this. It has been awesome. The cast of this production is wonderful. I can relate to a lot of the cast members. I have dated Brooke. I have dated Miller. I have dated Mecca. Looking for somebody like Ray.
Wow.
Oh, Ray's accent. Love, love, love the accent. I understand Miller being a Taurus. My Miller was also a Taurus, so it must be hereditary. I'm just wishing you guys great luck. Great luck, success, everything. The cast is wonderful. Down to the females. My question is, who's on the cast is straight and it's obvious?
I was wondering that was coming. Just because you're straight.
Oh, Mecca, you are just gorgeous. Oh, God. But anyway.
Thank you.
I joined your fan page.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Ray, I am going to download your music.
Yes.
I am into the neo-soul music like no other. It is wonderful. It is for our people. But I came out as a lesbian in my early 30s, so I had a late jump at it. Always had the attraction to women, never jumped on it because I grew up in a very small community where it wasn't accepted. I grew up in the church. My brother is a minister. It's not talked about in my family, but my brother accepts me for who I am, and he loves me unconditionally. And it was a young lady that called in earlier that said she had put a gun to her head or something like that. I just want her to know that your parents love you regardless. It's unconditional. They may not accept who you are because they don't understand who you are, but you understand yourself. And you have no one to answer to but God himself. So you go with what makes you happy. And, again, I like to wish you guys much success. And thank you, Big Meech, for putting this out there.
Oh, well, thank you, baby, honey, for being the people who I need to talk to and who need to make sure that this here is what it is, baby. Without them, there is no me, honey. I'm just sitting up here being a vessel so that the information can get out there because I, too, am a fan. So that's the important piece here. I, too, am a fan, honey. So, yes, sugar, you know, if it get good to you, you just can't keep it to yourself, honey. You got to tell everybody.
You have to tell everybody.
Okay.
And also, one more comment. To Mecca, the character with the transgendering, I have a friend also that is transgendering from male to female. She is a beautiful person. She is she. She has gone through pretty much everything except the direct surgery. It was not accepted on our job, but they had to accept it because she went through all the legal processes of it. They were upset when they allowed her to, you know, go into the women's restroom. But she is a beautiful person, and I've known her as male and female, and both parts of her, it is just a beautiful person.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Oh, wow. Well, all right then, baby. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Y'all have a good day. God bless.
You too, baby.
Thank
God bless. Let me go here. 708-747. 708-747. You had your hand up for a long time, honey. Hey, baby.
Hello. How are you? I'm Nora.
Hey, Nora.
Hey, Nora.
I was just calling to say that I love the show. Absolutely love it. And I'm getting everybody in Chicago on board. I definitely love you all. Tajir, you are beautiful. You are so beautiful.
Well, thank you.
And look, I love your accent. I'm all about accents. I love to hear you speak. Definitely love to hear you speak.
Thanks.
And I have a huge crush on Christina because you are just fine. You are fine. Good Lord.
Christina?
You are.
Thank you.
I have a question for you all. I need a little bit of advice because I'm 19 and I have been gay my entire life. I've been a lesbian, seriously, my entire life. Since I knew the difference between male and female, I've always loved females. And my mother thinks that this is a choice that I made, but I keep trying to explain to her and everyone else that it's really not a choice. Why would I choose to be cornered in the back of a classroom while I'm in high school and get spat on by a boy because I don't like him? It's really hard. But I came out to everybody in my family, basically, except for my dad's side of the family, like my grandparents, because my grandfather's a deacon and my grandmother's a deaconette, and I don't know how to tell them at all. I have no clue what to do. I don't know which direction to go. I feel like they might shun me. I don't know. So do you all, have any advice on how I would be able to come out to them?
I think that would be a good question for Christina because she's a PK. She's a preacher's kid. So.
I was thinking of what I wanted to say. My dad, both of my parents, my mother and my father, are from Jamaica. My dad is also a pastor in the AME Zion Church. My coming out process kind of happened by default with my dad. I was in Los Angeles at the New York Film Academy, and my final project, we had to make a short film, and it was called A Letter to Daddy, and it was about a young lady who was in an abusive relationship with a woman, and how her relationship with her dad kind of fell apart because of it. Now, I personally have never been in an abusive relationship, but that was the story that I wanted to tell. So when he flew out to L.A. for the premiere and he saw it, he was very, 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 very offended. He felt like I was directing that movie towards him, and he felt like I was disrespecting him, and he went through a period of time where he didn't really speak to me. Now it's just one of those things that we don't talk about. We don't talk about it. My mother is the same way. I kind of came out to her by default also, watching an episode of True Life on MTV.
Okay.
She was flipping channels. We were watching TV. She was flipping channels, and it was True Life, I'm Gay. And there happened to be two women on when she was flipping channels, and she stopped for a minute, and she saw them talking and holding hands, and woo, woo. And she was like, oh, and changed the channel. And I was like, wait, come back. She's like, why? Why do you want to watch that? And I was like, well, you know, it's interesting to me. What if that was me? And she got really quiet.
Wow.
She was like, well, you know, if that's you, then you have to figure out what your relationship is with God. You know, God doesn't approve of that, and the Bible this, and blah, blah, blah. And that was the first and last conversation we had about that. So, I mean, I definitely don't have a guidebook or any, you know, concrete advice, but I think definitely putting it out there. I don't, you know, make it a secret. I don't try to throw it in their face, but it's not, you know, I don't live my life in secret. There's a lot of things that I can tell that they feel and that they want to ask and that they want to talk about, but coming from a parent's point of view, you know, it can be kind of scary to have this big thing that you don't know anything about, and the only thing you've heard about it is negative stuff. And now
exactly.
It's not on television anymore. It's in your house. It's your daughter. So how do you tackle this big thing? And I think like Miss C was saying earlier, Michelle's mom, I think like she was saying earlier, you know, even parents, just like you have a coming out process, parents have to have a coming out process too. I can remember Michelle being in tears because Miss C, you know, they went through a lot of ups and downs, and I am extremely proud of her, and listening to her on the radio today just made me so proud to hear her talking about her relationship with Michelle and how they have overcome all those battles. So, you know, what I would say to you is, you know, test the waters a little bit. It may not be as bad as you think it is, or it may be as bad as you think it is, but you'll never know if you don't at least try.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then also, you know, don't stop believing in who you are because someone won't accept you, because you're going to find yourself
right.
being not who you are, who you were meant to be. So
right.
always embrace who you are. And those people that will accept you, they will, and they will love you. And just make sure you're around positive people. But also just stand your ground in what you believe in and how you feel. And that's the most important thing.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you. And I can always see episode 11. I am so waiting for it. I saw the teaser, and I am panicking on the inside because I want to know what's going down. Can't wait to see it. You all keep doing great, though. Doing big
all
things.
Right.
Thank you,
baby. All righty then. I got a few more calls. Let's go here. 312-882. 312-882. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Big Between Women.
Hello. How are you?
Hey.
Are you able to hear me? Hey. Okay. Thank you, Michelle, for finally getting me through. Hi. And you, Meech. My name is Unique. And basically, first off, I want to tell you that you are doing a very good job, Meech.
I definitely
enjoy your show. And, you know, I try to listen to it as often as possible, you know, when I can.
Thank you.
No problem. For the cast, Michelle and Christina, you guys have done a fantabulous job. That's my new word, fantabulous. But you guys have done such a wonderful job. Me, I am the type of person, I'm into television and plays and things like that, but when I was put on for the Between Women, I had never been so overwhelmed by this show. I actually had to sit down, and I made my best friend and my girlfriend watch all 10 episodes in one night. I was so overwhelmed. I loved it. And for each and every cast member, you guys are phenomenal. I love it. But the one that has the heart is Ray. Oh, my goodness. Love, honey, if you are still on the phone, baby, I can want to read me a newspaper or anything. Oh, my goodness. You are just, I love everyone's spirit. Everybody seems so humble. Everybody just seems so positive. And I'm also in Chicago. My best friend does party promotions for No Boys Allowed. And I help promote her, so I would love to help promote you guys. Anything that I can do, I would love to do it. I'm in school right now for fashion marketing, so I don't have a lot of experience, but I'm always willing to do hands-on. I'm really intrigued with this show, and I am a big fan, and I feel like that I can just let the whole world know. So anything that you need from me, please let me know.
Info@betweenwomentv.com, what you just said, and so when we go through and we're looking for people, we can find you.
Absolutely. You'll definitely
Thank
get my
you.
Email today.
BetweenWomenTV.net. All right. Well, thank you, baby. All right. All right. Now, let's see. 321-362. 321-362. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, baby. That's you. You
are. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were coming back to me.
No, I got you, baby.
Is
Come
still on.
On
the line?
Go ahead.
Still on the line?
Yeah, I got you, baby. You talking right to me and to the cast.
Okay, is Liz still on? Is she still?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh my goodness, listen, okay. I'm physical, so like, you are my favorite character. I love you. I am in love with you. Oh my goodness. I'm still trying to get you down here to Orlando. You remember I had messaged you about that, like, I love your music. I'm just, you're my favorite. I'm sorry. I love everybody.
Thank you. I love you.
My absolute favorite.
I appreciate it.
My daughter's saying hi, too. She watches the show.
Hey, little bit. So. Hey, little daughter.
I watch the show with my daughter, so, you know, my daughter knows that her mother is gay. You know, there's certain parts I don't let her watch, but I like the fact that she can watch and get a look inside, you know, other than what she sees her mom go through and know that the things that I go through, the other women go through too, you know, as well. Oh, my goodness. But I did want to talk to you. I'm glad I stayed on the phone to hear your voice and you talking to me. I'm happy.
No problem. Thank you for the support and the love, you know.
You're welcome. And I downloaded your music as well.
That's what I like about you. Tell your baby I'm rocking with her, too.
Thank you. My next goal is to see you in person. I got to see you in person. That's on my bucket list.
All right. I hope it's a small buggy might see me soon.
Dig that now. All right, baby. Oh, she you good shit, honey.
I love all you guys. Keep up the good work. I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying for the show to make it to a network. And whatever happens, please don't ever change the cast. You got to keep a girl look on there. Miller got to stay on. No. Everybody has to remain the same.
All right, baby. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Lord, have mercy, child. Ray, look at you. I'm telling y'all, okay. 252-428. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women.
All right, what's up?
Hey.
This is Devin, North Carolina. I just wanted to call in because I wanted to speak to, like, everybody. Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up?
Hey. Me and my best friend, whatever, you know what I'm saying, just really want to call in and speak because Ray is my best friend's favorite, and she's my favorite son, and then B, you know what I'm saying, I got a little thing for B, so, hey, y'all, how y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing, Ray?
What up?
Oh, my God, Ray, you know, I just got to tell me over you the other day, my girlfriend got mad at me because I just kept going on about you.
So your girlfriend don't act like that. I love her, too. We all family.
Have mercy, child.
But yes, to all the cast, I love Miller. I love everybody. I love everybody. Yeah. Sunny is my favorite because I act like Sunny. Seriously. Like, I am a film version of Sunny. I'm corny. I'm loud. I'm talkative. Like, I'm so clumsy. Everything. I'm a film version of Sunny. I'm telling you. So I would love to meet her.
All right, thank you. Well, all right then, babies. Thank you so much, honey. All right, I love it, honey. All right, I still got some time on here. 210-373. You're dishing tea with Big Meech and the cast of Between Women. Hello, baby.
Hi, how are y'all?
Hey.
Hi, how you doing? I'm fine. I just wanted to say, like, when I first seen the show, my friend had posted it on Facebook. And, of course, it's on YouTube, so I'm like, let me go see what this crap is. And I fell in love with it. But, you know, mostly everything on YouTube is crap. But I fell in love with it. I'm hooked on it. I love y'all. I think y'all are doing a wonderful job. I'm not lesbian or bi. But I love the concept of the show. My mother, she is a butch. And she came out a couple of years ago, but it's like my family stopped talking to her when she came out because everybody in my family is kind of like a Christian. We all grew up in that sense, and nobody really accepted it. Like, I was the only one who accepted it because at the time it was like I really didn't understand it, so I didn't really care. You know, but like now I have a friend, and I've known her only for 3 months. And she's like I know that she is, and she didn't have to tell me. I could just kind of look at her and know, you know. And she has come out to her family because she doesn't know what they'll think of her. She thinks that they'll kind of like disown her because, you know, they're in a Christian family as well. But I just want to let everybody who is here to come out, I just want to let y'all know, God accepts you for who you are. You don't have to worry about nobody, you know, but God accepting you. You know, if somebody don't accept it, then that's their problem, not yours. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
And I love Ray.
Watch yourself.
I think y'all doing an excellent job, and I can't wait for y'all to get picked up to come out on the network. I really can't. So
well,
all righty
then. Well, thank you, Precious.
Thank you.
All right. We are getting through these callers. I'm down to the last two. 912-349.
Hello?
Hello, darling.
Hi, my name is Olivia. I'm from
Savannah,
Georgia.
Hey, Olivia.
I just wanted to say that I really, really love this show. Everything about it is so real and honest, and I just love the fact that I can relate to the show. I pretty much cry my eyes out when Allison went through all that drama with Brooke in the beginning because it was so crazy, and I've been there. And it took me 2 years to get out of my situation. So this show itself intrigued me from the very first episode. And I'm sorry, I'm getting emotional. But again, I really, really love the show. And I just want to let the writer, the director, and all of the cast know that what you do is nothing short of amazing. And I will continue to donate and put the word out there because you guys are extraordinary and everyone needs to be exposed to you guys. And on a side note, if Tajir is single, I would love to take her out sometime.
Well, I am single, and I don't turn down a free meal.
How about that? Well, how about
that?
Sweet.
Thank you, baby.
She's on Facebook.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow, thank you. I don't know what to say. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Lord have mercy, Jesus. Would you, okay, baby, I'm not, you know what, I'm not mad. Get it in when you can get it in. You hear what I'm saying? That's why we open like that. I don't care, honey. Hey, this was your opportunity. You better shine, sugar. If that's what it was, you better shine. Now, hot damn. Okay? She held on for a reason. Now, Taj, that's on you, player. What you going to do, bro? What you going to do? No, let me stop. Just let me.
Thank you. Man, got to love our fans. You've got to love our fans, man. Appreciate you all. Wow.
Yes, indeed. Now, you know what? I've gotten through all of the callers. Praise the Lord. I think I have, yes, because everybody, I've gotten through everyone. Okay, so at this point, give everybody the Facebook page, the YouTube page. If they don't know about now, we've been saying it all night. BetweenWomenTV.net. Or is it .com? Give it to them. It's .com for the website, and it's .net if you're going to email. info@betweenwomentv.net, marketing@betweenwomentv.net.
No.
I'm fucking it up.
No,
let me shut up. Y'all do it.
Make sure you guys go to our website, betweenwomentv.com. If you want to email us, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, you want to help out with PR, hair, makeup, wardrobe, and you want to be an extra on the show, anything of that sort, you can email info@betweenwomentv.com. We are on Facebook at Between Women TV.
YouTube Between Women TV, and Twitter Between Women TV.
Between Women TV.
And from there, you can find a list of our fan pages and any other information that you would need in order to follow us.
Well, all right. See? And there you have it. Now, y'all got that from their mouth, and that's why I had to shut up and be quiet. Okay. Stay in your lane, son. Stay in your lane. Anyway. But let me take this time to say thank you, 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 times a million for what you have brought to the table. I'm going to send over a headshot and resume my damn self, honey, of me as Demetrius, and I'm also pretty. I look good in face, honey. I'll send a drag photo over, and we'll get that done, too. And we will go from there because I really believe in the product and I believe in the show, and I cannot wait to see your endeavors and to see where this takes you as the writer, as the creator, as the director, your marketing team. I can't wait to see what this is for you. So with that in mind, just let me say sincerely, and I'm going to be the voice of a lot of the LGBT persons who watch the show. Let me just say thank you on their behalf for those who couldn't get in or didn't want to chime in. We're going to say thank you. And also for educating me personally on the inside of what lesbian life is like, because I don't see it up close and personal from this perspective. I get it from a distance when I'm in church or when I was a part of church. When I was going there, this, that, and the other, when we pass each other at the clubs, but never intense to where we have an everyday interaction. And it is my praise report that this particular product and project Between Women helps to bridge that gap between the lesbian and gay community, particularly those of us of color, so that we could come out of that bullshit of them versus us.
And let me just say, Denise, we thank you for having us on. I just looked at my clock, and I'm like, we've been on here for 3 hours.
Hello.
I had a call sprint today. We got to have But I appreciate all the support from our community for you for having us on. I know we end up getting Brooke on, Miller, Ray. We end up pulling a lot of people on. Man, we appreciate it so much. We love our fans genuinely. And we love everybody who support us. And we really thank you for taking this opportunity to have us on. And anytime you want us to come and crash all 10 of us, the radio blog, just hit us up. And we are more than welcome. We would do so.
And I'm going
to
throw that
back
at you anytime,
y'all
need
definitely
whatever.
We got to come back.
Please, that's a standing invitation. That's
uh-huh.
a standing invitation. Please. That's a standing invitation, baby.
Right after we air the episode 11, the finale, we can all come back. You know, everybody. Communicating with our fans.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll put it together. So, all right then. Well, let me let y'all get back to y'all's day. So, like you said, we done been on here for 3 hours, child. My ass is hurting because I've been sitting in this damn wooden chair. And I have to get up and shake just a little bit. So, So, with that, babies, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, honey. You guys have a blessed and prosperous day. And I'm right here on the YouTube episode right now. I'm going to the trailer. So, I would love to have you back real soon here.
Thank you,
Big Meech.
Oh,
thank
you're welcome,
you,
babies. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. All righty then, the children. That's it, people. We done set up here and done talk with the cast, the creator, the director of Between Women. If you ain't down with it, honey, I'm telling you, you guys need to go check it out. Right there on YouTube at Between Women TV. All of their pages are Between Women TV. To find them on Facebook, to go to their website is betweenwomentv.com. I'm telling you, honey, this here, if you're heterosexual, heteroattractional, let's take the sex out of it. If you're heteroattractional, this here is your opportunity to open your eyes to see how much we have in common, because you already know why we're different. So let's look at that and embrace this, because it's a quality product, and I don't put my name or my stamp of approval on anything that ain't quality. So with that in mind, yes, my babies, I appreciate you, and I hope you had a good time. If you love me, honey, tell a friend. If you hated me, honey, tell an enemy. But do know this, one way, shape, style, form, or fashion, this thing will go forward, honey. Now, you can finish all of your crumpets, baby, because the tea has been dished, and you've been dishing tea, darling, honey, with Big Meech. Okay? So until next time, I want you to join me next week. Next week, we will be talking with Mr. Christopher Beckwith. He is the author of this fabulous, fabulous book called Raw. And we will be dealing with a true story about a young man who is loving to have raw sex in the LGBT community, and how he contracted HIV from having an incestual affair with his brother and his father. Yes, so we're going to get all off into that. So join me next week when we talk about that.